I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms, and we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever. Openly, Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God, like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, how do we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian construction of the American society. Everything that Christ said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly, you can't counter.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, LewisJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills.
You like, oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. Happy Veterans Day to all of our vets out there. We're very proud of you all, obviously, and we wanted to spend some time on today's show honoring you, of course. We look forward to doing just that. We'll be paying attention to President Trump because, well, he'll be heading over to the Arlington National Cemetery at about 11 a.m. Eastern time today. As many of you guys know, this is where he does his normal ceremony. Most presidents do it, actually. The wreath laying down ceremony. So again, folks, we'll be bringing that to you live once that begins. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. Today in studio, we'll be joined by Stuart Rhodes as well. And I have a lot that I want to talk to him about because, folks, he's got a lot to sound off on in regards to our service members and what's going on right now over at the DOJ and what's going on right now with Jason. I mean, there's a lot to discuss with Stuart, so I'm excited to have him on the program today. He'll be here in studio in just a few moments. Well, should I say a couple of hours? We'll say about 2 hours. We'll have Stuart Rhodes in the studio. James Fishback is also going to be joining us as well. He is someone who obviously runs an American investment company. As many of you know, if you follow him on X, he is very vocal on a lot of key issues that I want to sound off on in regards to, let's just say, what's going on right now in the White House. Yesterday, there was a couple of really just, trying not to be blackpilled, so let me say this lightly. There were a lot of questionable things that came out of the White House yesterday in regards to both an Islamic terrorist being welcomed in. Fishback's not here for that. He's going to discuss specifically President Trump's push to bring in about 600,000 CCP spies, who are pretending to be students, of course, into our colleges and universities. And President Trump is saying, hear me out. He is saying that this is good for colleges and universities here in the United States because they could charge these foreign students more money. I know. When I heard that yesterday, it was very hard for me to listen to. It was very disappointing, of course, with that. And also, you know, laying out the red carpet almost for all that Al-Qaeda terrorists to enter into our White House. It wasn't a good day yesterday for the White House, of course. So James Fishback will be joining me for that. He'll also be sounding off, too, on 50-year mortgages. Now, we heard that before. I don't understand what's going on right now. I really don't understand what's going on right now. 50-year mortgages, folks. You'll be a slave for the banks if we start pushing 50-year mortgages. Well, there's people at the White House who don't even understand how that idea even came about. I know President Trump posted on Truth Social about that, so I'll be asking Fishback about that, plus H-1B visas as well. A lot to sound off there, of course. Well, it's not just going to be Fishback joining us. Also, we'll also be joined by Joseph McBride as well. Later in the show, McBride is an incredible trial lawyer, and we've got a lot to discuss in regards to the Florida Attorney General launching an investigation into J.P. Morgan, that announcement coming yesterday. The Florida AG saying he's had enough. He's seen enough. He's accusing J.P. Morgan of debanking the Trump media group prior to them going public. He said it was targeted. They also believe that they were potentially working with, get this, those part of Arctic Frost, Jack Smith. So I'll have him break down the latest regarding that investigation. He released the clip yesterday, just kind of giving us some overview, also released a letter as well. So a lot to dive into there. So a lot happening. A lot happening over here, so we're excited that you guys are all jumping on board. Let's highlight some of the key things. Yesterday, the United States Senate ended the government shutdown. It's now on the way to the House, and it was quite the eventful thing to tune into. Take a listen to, well, how it all ended yesterday.
On this vote, the ayes are 60, the nays are 40. The bill, as amended, is passed. Under the previous order, the motion to reconsider is considered made and laid upon the table.
Okay, so that was good to hear, obviously, because if you've been paying attention, we have had some issues with, obviously, our airlines, with our air traffic controllers. And President Trump yesterday read it to you after he dropped the tweet on Truth Social in regards to our air traffic controllers. And he was really upset, saying that a lot of them haven't shown up. I mean, I'm just going to be critical of him, I guess, throughout this entire show, because, I mean, yesterday was not a good day for the White House. He was sounding off about the air traffic controllers, a lot of them who are taking time off because they're not receiving a paycheck as of right now. They obviously have families to feed, and they need income. So many of them, and I don't blame them because we all know what it's like to try to raise a family, many of them have been taking off time and are trying to find ways to bring in revenue. President Trump's going after them on Truth Social, pretty much making it sound like they were unpatriotic for doing just that. And I have to say, if you're someone who's living paycheck to paycheck, like most Americans in this country are, it is extremely difficult to live through a government shutdown. Now, I know I've said it on the show, obviously. I fully support us getting rid of the wasteful spending, and the government shutdown should have been utilized for that. But I understand those people are working their butts off. And they're currently short-staffed, obviously, so a lot of them were working overtime. And so it was really discouraging to see the president go after them yesterday on Truth Social. I wanted some time to reflect on this post that you see here on your screen before I actually came to an opinion on it. But, you know, I've read it a couple of times now. And in it, obviously, President Trump saying, I'm not happy with you going after them, saying that it was the fake Democratic attack, obvious Democrat attack in regards to the shutdown, saying that, you know, you knew you were going to get paid after all of this. But again, they're on day 41, day 41. I mean, how many Americans could survive 41 days without getting a paycheck? I know it's extremely difficult, and I will not sit there and attack these people. But President Trump saying that he's promising them that he's going to give them $10,000 bonuses, that was in that Truth Social post. Now, Laura Ingraham did a great job yesterday when she had an interview with President Trump, holding his feet to the fire, because $10,000 sounds great, but the reality of it is, where are you getting this money? Well, in clip two, she asked him just that. Take a listen to his response.
Out a Truth Social post earlier today.
I did.
Where you blasted the air traffic controllers who had not shown up for work and offered potentially a bonus of $10,000 for those who have worked despite the shutdown. Are you worried that given the fact that we have a deficit of air traffic controllers still, I know we're trying to change that, that that might be a difficult
position? No, we don't have much of a deficit, and we have a lot of people want the job. But I was not happy when I saw all these people, oh, we have to. Look, life is not so easy for anybody. Our country's never done better. We should not have had people leaving their jobs. And what I basically did is say the ones that stayed, of which were, there were a lot of them, I'm sending them a $10,000 bonus.
Where's that money coming from?
I don't know. I'll get it from someplace. I always get the money from someplace regardless. It doesn't matter. I do a lot of bonuses for people because it's really something that, it's like the American way when you think about it. So here's somebody that goes and shows up every single day. Some of them showed up early because they knew there was going to be a problem. Those people should be rewarded. Others, we can't make it. We can't. You know, a lot of the people that showed up also had a second job. They took a second job temporarily. But they all know the money's coming, and the money was coming. So I want to reward the people that showed up without a lot of nonsense, without a lot of talk. They did their job, and in many cases, they worked longer hours to get us through this period.
When can we?
Most Americans are struggling to get by. Most Americans cannot afford to get by right now. They are living paycheck to paycheck because everything has gone up, whether it's rent, whether it's if you're trying to purchase a home, your mortgage is insane, property taxes, everything has gone up in this country. And so I am very empathetic to those Americans who are struggling to get by, who are trying their very best to not only try to start a family or try to build up enough wealth so you could start a family. I mean, people are all at different phases in their lives right now, but they are trying their very best. And so I don't beat up on those air traffic controllers who needed to find a way to bring in revenue. It's extremely tough to get by right now. And I know most Americans cannot sit here and take on these debts. The reality of it is it just sounds tone deaf. It really does. Because I know time and time again, the White House tells us that prices are going down in regards to food costs. That's not true. If you've gone to the supermarkets, you know that the prices are still extremely high. I mean, I remember the days when I was paying $5.99 for a pound of ground beef, $1.99 for a pound of ground, or just regular whole chicken breasts. And it's not that anymore. Now, whether it's corporate greed and these corporations are refusing to lower their costs because we've all adjusted, in their view, to paying more money, that's when the government needs to intervene. I know that the DOJ thinks that President Trump is now going to be investigating why beef prices are still significantly high. That's something we talk about on this show. But the reality of it is everything has gone through the roof. Most Americans cannot afford to get by. And so I'm not going to beat up on people who needed to take time off to get some type of income in. Most Americans can't just work one job these days. I know. I mean, I've been working, what, 2-3 jobs for over a decade now. We're all just trying to get by. And so to sit here and to go after them as if there are some lazy people who do not have an ounce of patriotism in them, that's kind of what it sounded like. I strongly disagree with that. I strongly disagree with that. And I don't understand the tone that's changed in the president. And we'll keep diving into that because there's a lot more that we have to go through. Yesterday was not a good day for the White House. And there's no way for me to make that sound all fluffy. It was not a good day for the White House. But President Trump is doing something good. He's calling out Obamacare, and this is something that we needed to talk about for quite some time. We were promised through subsidies from our federal government that the cost of health care and having access to health care was going to be significantly cheaper, and that is not true either. Obamacare was a lie. We knew it was a lie, but those on the left told us that it was going to make things really cheap and you were going to be able to keep your doctors. Well, that was all hot trash. Democrats won't admit that. They continue to push that lie because they cannot allow the president to take away Obamacare. That was Obama's greatest legacy. But the reality of it is it's a waste of money. You know, Scott Jennings actually did an incredible job yesterday at outlining the failures of Obamacare yesterday on CNN. I want you to take a listen to clip 3 because he did an incredible job at breaking it all down. Take a listen.
And I'll tell you one thing this has exposed, though, the complete and total failure of Obamacare. I mean, it's not affordable. No, you know, people that have it don't feel like it even is real insurance. And now we see, I mean, it's a mess. And if anytime the government's having to subsidize something like this, it's not working in the first place. And so I think the American people are realizing just how messed up the American healthcare system is and the regime under which we live is Obamacare. But look, I think a lot of Republicans do not want people to see skyrocketing premiums. And so we'll see what that debate looks like. This whole thing has exposed this outlandish money laundering scheme where your tax dollars go right into insurance companies and your health insurance never gets better, your health care never gets better, your health outcomes never get better. That's what we have exposed here. So what our responsibility is as a Republican Party, how do we stop getting your tax money to insurance companies and how do we put more actual money into the health care of the American people? Because I can assure you, writing a bunch of checks to insurance companies doesn't make your health care any better.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make your health care any better. We've learned that lesson the hard way. So that's some of the good that's come from the shutdown. Now, unfortunately, folks, we haven't done anything regarding SNAP. They had a perfect opportunity to go after SNAP benefits, and they chose not to. Those who have abused the system, 42 million people are on SNAP right now, and we haven't actually sifted through any of it, those who actually need the benefits and those who are refusing to work because they want to continue to leech off the government. This was a great opportunity. Unfortunately, we really missed out on that one. We've really missed out on that one. Now, I want to turn to what happened yesterday at the White House because it was really hard for many of us to sit back and watch because we know that the Islamic terrorists all around the world were laughing at us, laughing at us. You know, I'm someone who's very, very critical and has been very, very critical of Zohran Mahdani. I say he's the enemy of the people, of course, because he is. He's brought into this country because he hates America and he's looking to destroy us. But how could we be critical of Zohran Mahdani when the president of the United States just brought an al-Qaeda leader into the White House? How? You could sit there and point out one, but you can't point out the other. So many people, and I strongly disagree with this, say, oh, President Trump has a plan. This is 3D chess. That's not 3D chess. Islam has a plan. It is to conquer those in the West. When you bring a terrorist, of course, I know this is Barack Obama's terrorist, of course. But President Trump had a decision. And he rolled out the red carpet, not physically, of course, for this guy to walk into the White House and laugh it up with the President of the United States. Now, what was even more sick is the comments that the president made about that so-called Syrian leader. The guy who just a couple months ago was allowing Christians to be slaughtered. Innocent people killed. So that man can say, I'm now president of Syria. Well, sadly, everyone around the world is getting in line, pretending like this is a legitimate leader. This isn't a leader. This is someone who will kill us. And nobody seems to understand that in the White House. I don't understand what's going on. And then yesterday when the media asked President Trump about that, the comment that you're going to hear really got me angry yesterday. Take a listen to clip 4, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Yeah, you can expect some announcements on Syria. We want to see Syria become a country that's very successful, and I think this leader can do it. I really do. I think this leader can do it. And people said he's had a rough past. We've all had rough pasts. But he has had a rough past, and I think, frankly, if you didn't have a rough past, you wouldn't have a chance. He gets along very well with Turkey, with President Erdogan, who's a great leader. Erdogan's a great leader.
Yeah, maybe you've had a rough past, right? We've all battled something in our lives, whether it's maybe you're addicted to alcohol, maybe you've done drugs, maybe you've not done well with your spouse. Rough past. Rough past. We're talking about a guy who killed innocent people. Slaughtered them. Slaughtered them. Decapitated them. We're talking about an Islamic terrorist. How many of you at home have been a terrorist? No. None of us have been. A rough pass? Is this guy delusional? I don't even understand what's going on right now. I feel like we're living in a whole different world. None of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. What do you mean by rough past? As if this guy was dealing with demons about alcoholism or maybe drugs, crack. I don't know. That's a rough past. That's something that we could all forgive. But slaughtering Christians? I don't even understand this. Now, obviously, we know that this individual was installed into this position because he got the support, of course, and gained the support of our CIA, Barack Obama. We know the details behind this. But President Trump made the decision to not only give this guy a platform, but to elevate him by bringing him into the White House. We continue to talk about Zohar Ramadani and how he's a hateful person, how he's a jihadist, how he sits there and empathizes for terrorists. Folks, if you can't call this out, but you want to talk about that, we've got a real problem on our hands. President Trump is gone. There's something not there. There's something not there. And as many of you guys know, I cheerlead for the administration when they do good. But yesterday was a horrific day for the White House. And I don't understand how he doesn't see it. We want to see Syria do well. Are you kidding me? Why do we need Syria? MAGA, you know what MAGA means? I know he's going to claim it too. We'll play a little clip later on where he claims that he was the one who invented MAGA, and he did. But the idea of MAGA was to make America great again, not Syria. He's lost his way. He has absolutely lost his way, and I don't understand what we're doing here. You know, I've been very composed in all of this when he's, you know, getting all nice with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar. Okay, I'll be polite and I'll be respectful, but this is crossing a whole nother line. I don't know what's going on with this White House right now. I don't know who's telling him that this is a really good idea, that his supporters truly love and appreciate this. But as I'm sitting here watching, I don't want to hear anyone tell me this is 3D chess. You're an idiot if you think that's the case. I don't know how else to say this. There's nothing here for us. Nothing here for us. The people who are benefiting off of this terrorist getting led into the White House are not Americans. We do not need Syria. But of course, those who continue, the warmongers. By the way, notice how no one criticized him yesterday for this. The left didn't criticize him. The warmongers didn't criticize him. Everyone looked the other way on this. Wow, this is historic. Historic. What the heck is going on here? I really don't understand what's going on here. And if one more person tells me he's just trying to keep his enemies close, that's garbage. You keep him close, but you don't bring him into the White House. That man, as he sits there and laughs and smiles, is smiling and laughing only because what? Because he wants us all dead. Folks, we are in a war that sadly so many Americans have no idea we're in. And we didn't declare this war. We didn't ask for any of this. But it was declared upon us. And I know President Trump understands that because he spoke out about this before he ever made his way into the White House. Prior to his first term, he knew this. So why have all of a sudden things shifted? We deserve an explanation. When you sit here and you bring a terrorist into the White House, we deserve an explanation. He had no problem speaking about Zohran Mahdani. No problem. Why all of a sudden are we going to sit here and pretend like this is acceptable? It is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. And I don't know what else to say about this besides the fact that I am just infuriated that our president, somebody we all elected because we wanted him to make America great again, is bringing an Islamic terrorist into the White House. Folks, I don't want to beat up on this guy. I know he's a very, very tough job, but he has crossed the line. This is awful. There is no justification for what happened yesterday at the White House. And again, I don't want to turn into one of those individuals who just beats up on President Trump left and right. There are some great things that come out of that White House, but nobody voted for that. Nobody voted for what he said yesterday, too, with Laura Ingraham as well. We'll play that for you in just a bit with Fishback. But folks, he literally, with Laura Ingraham yesterday, when she asked about the 600,000 CCP spies, which they're calling Chinese students, of course, advocated for them because, well, he says that our colleges and universities could use the business because they could charge them more. And then when she says, oh, yeah, but we're not talking about like the French here. We're talking about the CCP. Oh, well, the French haven't really been our friends either. I just don't understand it. Don't. We've all been critical about Joe Biden, his family ties to the CCP. How do we sit here and allow that to slide? I don't have a double standard. I have one standard, and that is America First policy. And right now, we are swinging and missing on this one. Massively. Massively. And I didn't even realize we were at 600,000. I remember the last post he did was like a 400,000, I believe. Maybe it's 200,000. But when Ingraham said 600,000 Chinese students, I said, oh, he's going to correct her on that. To my surprise, no, he didn't. He doubled down. I mean, it is just absolutely mind-blowing. There is zero justification for allowing the Chinese into the United States. We don't need them. We don't need them. And then he goes on to back the fact that he started MAGA. Yes, you did. You created a movement that we love so, so much. But for some reason, he's abandoned it. And I just don't want to sit here and be a black pill. But man, yesterday was not a good day for the White House. It was not a good day. And we deserve answers. All right, folks, I'll be joined in a few moments with some incredible guests. You're not going to want to go anywhere. For now, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Because you're going to love this. Right now, you get a free InfoWars hat. Yes, you heard that right. A free InfoWars hat when you purchase a supplement. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Free InfoWars hat with supplement purchase right now. It's also 25% off, of course. We got that pre-Black Friday Cyber Monday sale going on right now. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. More taking place in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them. Because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami, look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hardworking middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hardworking middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction. When despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2+2=4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else. The poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Oh, a lot going on over here today. I'm trying not to be a black pill. I'm really trying my best. But there was a lot of stuff happening yesterday at the White House that I have to say was really discouraging. And, you know, we have to be fair and balanced, so we'll have to call it out. And I look forward to doing that with James Fish back in just a few moments. He is an incredible individual. If you don't follow him on X, I highly recommend you do. But he'll be joining the show today. He is the CEO of an American investment firm, Azoria. But he also is one of the very few people who will call out the BS on both the left and right, obviously, when it comes to business dealings. And he was sounding off yesterday about a couple of key things that had me really upset. As we talk about it all the time, H-1B visas, the abuse that's there. He's constantly calling that out. And the Republican rhinos who still support H-1B, I don't know how it's even possible, but it really is a thing. And he calls it out quite often. So we'll talk about that with him in just a few moments. Plus, I want to ask him about the 50-year mortgage pitch that's been going on right now. We saw President Trump. He posted about it on Truth Social, and it really had a lot of people upset. I mean, a lot of people were upset when they saw that President Trump was hinting through a meme about 50-year mortgages, because most Americans don't want to be a slave for the banks. So, of course, that was a big, big deal. And we'll talk about that with James in just a moment. And then I'm also kind of on edge these days when it comes to the fact that we allow the CCP to send their students to the United States. Now, I've never understood why we allow this practice to continue on. And I was shocked yesterday to learn that the number is up to 600,000 now. when I was listening to Laura Ingraham yesterday on Fox, and she did an interview with President Trump, I heard her say 600,000. And I said, well, President Trump's going to correct that. Because last I heard, I think it was around 200,000, 400,000. But he didn't. 600,000 students from China are welcomed into our country. Folks, that doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't scream MAGA at all. At all. So I don't know what's going on right now. But it's deeply, deeply concerning. We'll have James on in just a few moments. But I wanted to jump into this with you guys. I want to play clip 12 for you. And I want you to listen carefully to how Ingraham, and she's pushing back respectfully, but man, oh man, were those claims outrageous. Take a listen.
Folks are not thrilled about this idea of hundreds of thousands of foreign students in the United States. We have about 350,000 Chinese. One point during COVID, you were going to, push to, get them out, but that was pulled back. You've said as many as 600,000 Chinese students could come to the United States. Why, sir, is that a pro-MAGA position when many American kids want to go to school and there are places not for them and these universities are getting rich off Chinese money?
Sure. Never said about China, but we do have a lot of people coming in from China. We always have China and other countries. We also have a massive system of colleges and universities. And if we were to cut that in half, which perhaps makes some people happy, you would have half the colleges in the United States go out of business.
So what?
Well, I think that's a big deal.
Are they fans?
You would have the
historically, of the United States.
Yeah, but you would have, as you know, historically black colleges and universities would all be out of business. You would have a system of colleges and universities.
So we're dependent on China to keep our university system going?
But I actually think it's good to have outside countries. Look, I want to be able to get along with the world.
They're not the French. They're the Chinese. They spy on us. They steal our intellectual property.
What, do you think the French are better?
Yeah.
I mean, really? I don't know. I'll tell you. I'm not so sure. We've had a lot of problems with the French, where we get taxed very unfairly on our technology. Yeah. With, they put 25% taxes on American products. Look, assuming everyone treats us badly, because that's the way I am, but we take in trillions of dollars from students. You know, the students pay more than double when they come in from most foreign countries. I want to see our school system thrive, but at the same time, I want to... I know you and I disagree. Yeah. We're never going to agree on it, but that's okay. And it's not that I want them, but I view it as a business. We have millions and millions of people. Also, I want to get along with countries if possible. You know, people are shocked. Remember Hillary Clinton said, we'll be in a war. I stopped 8 wars in the last 9 months. I don't want to be in wars. If I am in a war, we're going to win the thing fast and it'll be violent. But
speaking
you know what? I don't want to be in wars. But one thing, you don't want to cut half of the people, half of the students from all over the world that are coming into our country, destroy our entire university and college system. I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't lose any.
And don't forget, MAGA was my idea. MAGA was nobody else's idea. I know what MAGA wants better than anybody else. And MAGA wants to see our country thrive.
That was not a good response. Joining me to discuss is James Fishback. He is the CEO of Azora, an American investment company, and he joins us now. James, I want to thank you for being here. That was a very, very discouraging response from the President of the United States. I understand that he started MAGA. But man, I don't know how bringing in Chinese students, which we all know are CCP spies, is MAGA at all. Your thoughts on the president's response yesterday?
That was the CCP censoring me, is what that was. That was me being muted. It is a disgusting betrayal. It is. I don't even understand how he could defend that. By the way, kudos to Laura Ingraham for pushing back as substantively as she did. The idea, let's just go to the idea first, that he came up with MAGA. That is false. The American people came up with MAGA. Make America great again. Number two, the idea that he has a monopoly on what MAGA wants or does not want. Mr. President, with all due respect, if the people don't want something, you ought to listen to them. We do not have a system where simply one person can decide what is in the best interest of 340 million people. And the number three, and this gets to the heart of a bigger debate Brianna, that's happening in the Republican Party right now. When we say make America great again, do we really mean it? Because you can't make America great again with Chinese students. You can't make America great again with Indian H-1Bs. You can only make America great again with Americans. And that's why these last couple of weeks have been so frustrating. Look at what happened last week. He said that people who complain about affordability are perpetuating, quote, a Democrat con job. Strike number one. The single mom who pulled me aside in South Florida this past weekend and asked me about when grocery prices were going to go down, that she had voted for President Trump. Is that a con job? Is she part of a Democrat hoax? Of course not. So that's the first strike. The second strike is that my generation is staring down the toughest job market in modern history. Only 15% of 30-year-old men own their home and are married. That was 50% in the 1960s. What does the president have to say about that? Well, his solution to home ownership, to affordability, is not anything real or genuine. It is 50 years of usury with this 50-year mortgage nonsense. Not let's get to the root causes, not let's ramp up mass deportations, let's not kick out H-1Bs who are currently dominating U.S. housing stock. Let's not ban foreigners from China or Canada from buying up U.S. homes. No, let's just let you mortgage your future. What's next? Let's do a 100-year mortgage. You can have a co-signer with your children and your grandchildren, and they can pay the interest when you're 6 feet under. This is a joke. This is an absolute joke, and we did not vote for this. And so at the end of the day, something has to give here, because we got royally trounced last week in Virginia, royally trounced all over the country. Why? Because when people elected President Trump, when we elected him, we elected him to tackle affordability. We didn't elect him to gaslight us. We didn't elect him to import 500,000 Chinese students to come to our universities, to take spots that could go to Americans, to take jobs that could go to Americans who are going to graduate from colleges. No. And look, the biggest part of the affordability thing that no one talks about, Brianna, is that if you can't get a job, then nothing else matters. Then the presupposition of affordability is you have a job to be able to afford things. And so when a Chinese national from Shanghai or Beijing takes your spot at a university, then takes your job via an H-1B, and you are sitting there living with mom and dad. And by the way, I'm grateful to mom and dad for giving you a place to live while you weather the storm. But if you have zero income, the affordability crisis hurts you the hardest. 70%, Brianna, of recent college grads are not working full-time in a job related to their major. Why? Because when Amazon announces they're going to lay off 30,000 Americans and then at the same time import another 10,000 H-1Bs, 70% of which will come from the country of India, that's betrayal. And they say, well, they peddle the lie, some Republicans, I think you know who I'm talking about, They peddle the lie that Americans aren't smart enough, that we're lazy. That is an utter slanderous lie against our people. We are the brightest, hardest working, hungriest people on earth. And you know what? To the American CEOs and the so-called country club Republicans who say that we're not smart and we're not qualified, how on earth would you know? These companies don't even hire, don't even interview, don't even advertise their jobs to Americans anymore because they know they can just import cheap labor from India. They don't have to pay them the same wage. They can work them overtime and not pay them overtime. And guess what? If they so much as talk back, if they so much as are 30 minutes late on that deliverable, they can be deported. Can you imagine a citizenship status? Can you imagine a working status where you do a bad job at work as an Indian and your employer can just fire you in the moment and deport you and leave you? Of course, you are in a indentured servitude, borderline slave position. And that is what President Trump does not recognize. We have hurt about so much. We have hurt as a country because of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris put us through. But the truth is, when we elected President Trump to tackle affordability, we didn't just say we wanted you to slow inflation from 5% down to 2.5% or 3%. What we said was, we want you to actually bring down prices. That's what he told us, is that prices themselves were going to go down, because under Joe Biden, and you know this, prices went up by at least 25% across the board. A lot more in some cases, but on average, they went up 25%. Nothing is cheaper today than it was before President Trump took office. And between the affordability crisis, between a 50-year usury, between another 600,000 Chinese students to steal admission spots at U.S. universities, between the fact that we've continued to have the H-1B program running. I can't believe I'm saying this, but our, thank God it's Veterans Day and I'm blessed for our veterans. Our service members were not paid during the government shutdown, but you know what was working? The Department of Labor was still approving H-1B visas to import more people from the third world to replace you and me and our kids and our grandkids. We do not have a country anymore. So, Mr. President, with all due respect, you cannot make America great again with the Chinese or the Indians. You have to do it with Americans, and you have to do it by putting America first.
Exactly. And that's why so many Americans are infuriated. You know, we sat back and we watched President Trump talk about bringing, let's just talk about beef prices for a second, talk about importing beef from other countries. And he was saying, oh, well, we're going to be helping these countries out by importing their beef. But American cattle ranchers are like, hey, we're trying to bring down beef prices, but we need your help. Now, he's asking the DOJ to investigate and to see why these beef prices are so high. We had cattle ranchers on the show, one of them specifically saying that there's a specific company out there that's keeping these prices significantly high, and it's hard to compete with them because they're importing from Brazil. But, I mean, these are one of the key things that we need to go after. And, you know, younger people, obviously I age myself when I say it like that, but when I graduated college, and this was back in 2015, I was offered my very first job, which was $35,000 a year, and they wanted me to uproot my life in New York and move to Miami. $35,000 a year was not enough for me to sustain, so I had to reject that job and then work two jobs in New York. And I'm saying this specifically because so many young people are struggling to get by right now. For over 10 years, I was working two, three jobs. And the reality of it is we were told we needed these college degrees that were significantly expensive and that we couldn't find employers that wanted to pay us so we could help pay down our student loan debt. And so many young people right now are looking at the amount of debt that they've accrued from going to these expensive colleges and universities. And they're saying, well, I can't find a job that's going to pay me a living wage. And they're turning to people like Zohran Mamdani and all. Although the administration, we beat up on him for his policies and the fact that he's a communist and he's making all of these free promises, so many Americans right now feel hopeless and they're really upset about this. And, you know, you highlighted the 50-year mortgage pitch. When I saw it, I thought this was a joke. And I had to go straight to his Truth Social page to see if it was a real meme that was posted. And unfortunately, it was. Now, yesterday, Laura Ingraham, she did an incredible job at holding his feet to the fire on a lot of these issues. She did, in clip 13, bring up the 50-year mortgage pitch. Take a listen to his response.
Housing costs are still out of reach. And another thing that your administration is trying to tackle, many Americans, the average age of first-time home buyers are now up to age 40, which is sad. The country you and
I
grew up in.
I inherited that. Look, you have to understand.
Right, but let me get to the question, though, because your housing director has proposed something that has enraged your MAGA friends, which is this 50-year mortgage idea. So a significant MAGA backlash, calling it a giveaway to the banks and simply prolonging the time it would take for Americans to own a home outright. Is that really a good idea?
It's not even a big deal. I mean, you know, you go from 40 to 50 years. And what it means is you pay something less from 30 that some people had a 40 and then now they have a 50. All it means is you pay less per month. You pay it over a longer period of time. It's not like a big factor. It might help a little bit. But the problem was that Biden did this. He increased the interest rates and I have a lousy Fed person who's going to be gone in a few months.
Okay, yeah, I don't understand the response, honestly, James, there. It was very, very disturbing, your reaction to him kind of justifying the 50-year mortgage rates, because give us a financial breakdown here. He thinks it's not that serious and it's going to be a reduced. It's not when you break it down. I was watching a lot of these great experts break down what this actually means, and some Americans might actually end up paying about $1 million more in interest.
It's unbelievable. The median home in America, Brianna, is $500,000. So at today's mortgage rate of 6%, that means that a 50-year mortgage, you would pay $1.1 million to buy a $500,000 home. $1.1 million of interest to get in to your median home. The fact that he says that it's not a big deal, that he continues to blame Joe Biden. Look, I'm no fan of Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are traitors to this country. But at the end of the day, take some responsibility. Take some responsibility. We elected you not to make excuses. We elected you to make America great again. And this is why I think at the end of the day, our founders, our framers, they saw this from a mile away. They gave us the 10th Amendment, Brianna, because they recognized that Washington, D.C., for as much airtime as it gets, they're not going to be the solution to all of our problems. We need state governments, like what Ron DeSantis has done in Florida to tackle affordability. Look at what Ron DeSantis announced this past week. When everyone else is complaining about inflation and affordability, and rightly so, Ron DeSantis didn't make excuses about his predecessor or about Joe Biden. What Governor DeSantis did was, through active partnership and negotiation with the largest auto insurers, he is sending Floridians a refund check, and prices are coming down in outright terms as a result. He's not making excuses. He's just delivering. And so at some point, of course, Joe Biden is to blame for much of the blaze, much of the malaise. But what on earth are we going to do about it? And that's why I think, you know, we've got to really just be honest about what is happening in our country. We have to stand up to the H-1B program. If President Trump won't, well, then voters need to know that in 2026, and we have to put in congressional Republicans who are going to stand by American workers. This is not a 50-50 issue. This is an 80-20, maybe even a 90-10 issue, that American jobs should go to Americans, that entry-level jobs for kids coming out of college should go to American students, whether you're black or white or live in a rural part of my state or an urban part of the country. Those jobs are reserved for qualified Americans, not cheap foreign slave labor. And this is not controversial stuff. I could walk into a black AME church right now, and I'd get that whole place up in a holler about these policies. And so I just wish President Trump would remember why we elected him. If I had shown the President Trump of 2015 or 2020 the video that you just played of Laura Ingraham asking him these challenging questions and told him this was Joe Biden and these were his answers, and I just gave him the readout, he would have criticized that. And so I'm just going to hear, I'm going to call balls and strikes. You know, the do-nothing Republicans in Congress and the know-nothing Democrats are sitting around, they're playing games, they're screwing over actual Americans who built this country. We're not going to tolerate it. And I got to tell you the truth, I want the Republican Party to win. I want the America First movement to win. But this is not the Republican Party that represents the American First movement. And if that's the case, this Republican Party can burn to the ground and we're going to have to start over. It's just that simple, because the Republican Party is merely a vessel, Brianna, for the America First movement. We're never going back to the Republican Party of the Koch brothers, of Dick Cheney, of the Country Club Republicans who wanted cheap foreign labor from India and from South America so they could pad their profit margins and then sell their companies off to private equity and make a cool $500 million. No. The Republican Party that we want is the Republican Party that stands up for workers, the Republican Party that stands up for our history, conservatives who actually want to conserve something, who actually want to conserve that jobs are for American workers, that our land is for American homebuyers, that a family of three should not be competing with a multi-billion dollar private equity firm like Blackstone or foreign nationals from Canada and China to buy their first home. Everything is downstream of being able to buy your home. Think about it, Brianna. If you can't buy that first home because Blackstone is screwing you over or that 50-year mortgage is usurious, guess what? If you can't buy that home, can you really get married? If you can't get married, can you really have kids? If you can't have kids, what's the point of all of this? And so everything is downstream of being able to afford a home and to afford life. And with all due respect to the president of the United States, I voted for him three times. I am a strong supporter of his when he gets things right. But I just have to be honest. A real friend, Brianna, and you know this, you've been a good friend to the movement. A real friend does not tell you what you want to hear. A real friend tells you the truth. And the truth is, this has been a disastrous 15 days for the Trump administration. The advisors who are peddling this nonsense, the nonsense that Americans of all stripes complaining about affordability is a con job, the nonsense that 50 years of usury is somehow the solution, that mortgaging our debt for another 20 years and potentially handing it over to our kids and grandkids is somehow the solution to foreign nationals buying up our land, buying up our homes, Blackstone outbidding a family of three, forcing them to rent forever, forcing them to be a slave to Wall Street. Those are not real solutions. And the president of the United States has to put Americans first. Sick and tired of the excuses. Don't make excuses. Make America great again. Full stop. Let's move on from here.
Yeah, I mean, James, I'm all on board with you on this one. It is infuriating to sit back and watch all of this take place. And you keep highlighting what I think is the key point here is average Americans, those who are young and just trying to compete to get a shot at the American dream. You know, I know Rasmussen Reports keeps polling them. The majority of Americans don't think they have a chance at getting to the American dream. And, you know, we got about 90 seconds left. I wanted to throw this last question to you because you always talk about the H-1B visa problem. And I think that's a big one. And so many Republicans like to go soft on that issue and say, oh, we just need to reform it. But we need to completely just annihilate it because the reality is Americans can't compete with H-1B and AI. I know President Trump said that through an executive order that he's going to charge, I think it was an extra $100,000 for these companies to get these H-1B visas for employees. That seems to be just, again, not really something that's realistic here. I know right now that you're probably on this answer, just get rid of them completely. How do we get there?
Well, can you imagine if the debate over slavery was, let's actually just create a fee for slavers to be able to own slaves? I mean, that's exactly what this is. This is not just an economic injustice. This is not just economic genocide against my generation who can't get a job. They're put in 30, 40 resumes a week and they never hear back. Why? Because their job was handed over to an Indian who got here 5 minutes ago. That is un-American. That is unacceptable. But it's also immoral. It is immoral, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, not to look out for your own. You are worse than the non-believer. You are an infidel. And so I'm thinking about running for Florida governor because our chosen candidate by the establishment GOP hacks, Byron Donalds, who is a DEI Republican, he wants more H-1Bs in our state. He does not want to end the H-1B program. He wants to tinker around the edges. Well, Byron Donalds, with all due respect, why don't you go to FSU? Why don't you go to FAMU? Why don't you go to UCF and tell those kids who've been applying for jobs for the last 5 weeks, who have put in hundreds of applications, they can't get a job because you want to bring more Indians into our state. It's time for America First patriots to stand up against the globalists and the corporatists who are destroying our country. They want to destroy our country, Brianna, for one simple reason. They want to make money. It explains the 50 years of usury. It explains the 600,000 Chinese, and it definitely explains the H-1B labor invasion, which is they can pay the H-1Bs a lot less, work them a lot harder. We said hell no to slavery in the Civil War, and we say hell no to H-1Bs replacing American workers as we approach 250 years since our bold founding fathers put blood, sweat, and tears into starting this bold experiment called America. We are not going to apologize for putting America first.
Yeah, James, and I think you are ideal when it comes to potentially leading Florida, so it was good for me to hear just that. We need someone who's not going to try to find middle ground on these issues. I mean, we need to start putting Americans first, and Florida is the future for the rest of this country. It is on the front lines of this fight, and Governor Ron DeSantis has made sure to make sure that Florida leads the way on so many different fronts. So, James, it's great to hear that. Folks, if you're not following James Fishbeck on X, I highly recommend you head on over and do just that. It's great to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much for jumping on with me today.
Great to have you. Thanks so much. Great to be here.
All right, folks, we got a lot more to dive into in just a few moments. If you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because get a free InfoWars hat when you make a purchase on a supplement. Now, this is important too, folks, because it's 25% off site-wide or head starting, of course, the Black Friday Cyber Monday sales over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Oh, a lot's happening over here today. We're excited that you're joining us. About to kick off the second hour of the show. A lot to dive into here. James Fishback just joined us, and it was an incredible interview because this guy is one of the very few who will actually call out what's going on right now. Now, obviously, we all voted for President Trump. I don't know if you did at home, of course, but I know I did. I know James did. But calling out the nonsense that's happening right now in the White House is something that we all should be doing. Right, we shouldn't be just sitting here and saying, oh, everything's great. No, we should be critical when we have to. And so I was very excited to have him on to do just that. But we're kicking off the second hour of the show by diving into some more stories. Joseph McBride's going to be joining me as well, just so you guys know. He's a trial attorney. He'll be joining us at about 10:30 Eastern time. I've got a lot of questions to ask him in regards to the Supreme Court, as well as the Florida AG's office, who is now investigating J.P. Morgan Chase. There's a lot to dive into there, but a lot of headlines that we didn't get into, and then we will in just a few moments. I want to talk about how President Trump yesterday did take a little swipe over at MTG. As many of you guys know, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene is a patriot. Now, you may disagree with her on some things, but I don't question her alliance. Her alliance is with the America First Movement, with America, MAGA. She is very clear that's where she is. She's been critical of President Trump, and I think she's been pretty fair. Sadly, the president doesn't agree with that, and he did take a swipe at her. We'll play that clip for you, because I know that the mainstream media was doing its very best to make it seem like there was some beef here between the two of them. Now, again, MTG has been doing a lot of corporate media these days. But, I mean, folks, I don't hate her for what she's done. I don't hate her. I think that what she's doing is great. Get out there. Spread your message out there. And yeah, you're not going to go out there swinging like a far right winger. Of course, you're going to go out there and maybe just let them listen to you, and then you slowly pull them our way. I mean, I'm okay with it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also talk about the Lawfare tour, the accountability tour specifically. Because there's been an update in regards to two prosecutors who apparently have abruptly resigned. That's according to MSNBC. Now, again, I don't like to use MSNBC as a source, but, you know, when you're upset, you're enraged, and you're a left-wing hack working for the federal government, they're usually the first one you turn to whenever you want to blow the whistle on something. And so we'll listen to that report as well. Plus, we will bring you the very latest on the congressional investigation to the J6 pipe bomber. There's a new letter that was just sent out in regards to Kamala Harris. I'll bring you the details on that. That comes from Chairman Barry Loudermilk as well. Plus, there was a story that dropped yesterday that I'll detail for you as well. Christina Bobb, who I highly respect, and she's an incredible attorney and a very lovely woman to be around. She's the former attorney for the president. She's currently being persecuted in Arizona. Luckily, though, it looks like those charges might fall off very soon. We played the clip for you yesterday, but she's coming forward and she's saying, hey, guys, just so you know, what you saw in Arizona, according to her, happened for a very expensive reason. She's accusing the AG over in Arizona of possibly taking over $200,000. So that will be an interesting one. I'll read you through the document, of course, that she released through Judicial Watch yesterday. And again, those are claims that she is making. So we'll tell you what those are. Plus, fights broke out yesterday at the Turning Point event. We can actually take a look at this footage. Yesterday, there were several arrests made at the Turning Point event. And I don't know why we still allow this to happen, because if you guys recall, President Trump held a roundtable. Obviously, this is happening at Berkeley yesterday. Now, the event still went on. Apparently, four U.S. Berkeley students were arrested on felony vandalism charges. There was also a bloody brawl. One guy did get a bloody nose.
Violence broke out hours before the Turning Point event launched. Now, again, I don't understand why we even allow it when it gets to this point. According to several reports and those within Turning Point, there were members of Antifa outside agitating the crowd. This footage coming to us from Savannah Hernandez. Now, President Trump did declare Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization, so I don't know why this is happening. More to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle of pills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal, we're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening all around the country. We're calling it out today. In just a few moments, though, we will talk with Joseph McBride, who you know is an incredible trial attorney. He's going to be joining us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time because I got a couple of legal questions I want to throw his way, of course. For those of you at home that are veterans, we wanted to thank you for your service and say happy Veterans Day, of course. We truly do appreciate all that our vets have done for us, and I don't think we give them enough respect, and we're very honored, very, very honored, of course, to have you in this country and all the sacrifices you've made. This morning I did. I'll call him later, of course. But I did shoot over a text message to my father. I wake up really early, so it had to be a text message. But he is up. He is up. Growing up, my dad served, he did serve in Vietnam, and my dad had me always waking up, crack of dawn. If I didn't do so, my veteran father would throw ice cold water on me if I wasn't up by 6 a.m. And that's what it's like to grow up with a father who is a vet. He was incredible, obviously, growing up, but it just shows how online, I mean, everyone jokes and says, Brianna, how are you up at like 4 a.m. every day? It's because of my dad. Because of my dad. If he wasn't the one throwing ice cold water on me at 6 a.m. every day, even on the weekends, if we didn't wake up, then I wouldn't be able to do a morning show. So thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. And we appreciate, of course, my father's service to this great nation. He's an incredible patriot, loves this country, and often tunes into this show. Often does. In fact, my dad, and I'll just give us a moment to reflect on how much of an incredible father he is. My dad actually, he just celebrated his 80th birthday, and he celebrated, of course, we threw him a surprise party, but whenever he watches this show, he gives me feedback and he gives me his political take by shooting me an email. And so often you'll see me looking at my computer and you're probably like, what is she reading? And it's because I'm reading my father's feedback as he watches this show. So I hope he's watching right now. And I just wanted to wish him a happy Veterans Day, of course. And I hope Mom takes you somewhere really, really good to enjoy today. And hopefully she pays the tab. All right, folks, let's turn to what we were going to talk about. I want to turn to clip 5 because President Trump is kind of taking a swipe at Marjorie Taylor Greene, the great congresswoman from Georgia. Now, I love and appreciate all that she's done, and I truly do believe she is a patriot. And although, you know, we might have political disagreements every now and then, I think that she is aligned in all the right reasons and all the right ways. And I think what she's doing right now is she's taking a tour of media outlets that normally wouldn't cover her because they've demonized her. They've made it seem like there's no common ground. And I like the fact that she's going on shows like The View. And you're not going to go in swinging and being, you know, a hard right winger, but she is going out there and she is trying to hold these discussions. Well, President Trump yesterday made these comments about MTG. Take a listen.
I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know.
I think MTG is doing an incredible job of going out there and trying her very best to hold President Trump to the MAGA line. Seems like he's drifting away these days. There have been some really questionable things coming out of the White House over these last few hours, if you want to go there. So MTG doing her very best. She came on this show. She was the first one to advocate for ending the filibuster, which got a lot of headlines. I know the Daily Beast tried to pin it and make it seem like she was going after President Trump. She did that interview, obviously, on this show. She did not speak ill of the president. She was not trying to swing at the president. She was inserting an idea, which later garnered the support of the president of the United States. And so we're very grateful for that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, she's going out there. She's trying to reach a new audience. And I don't blame her for any of this. I actually think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea. It's how we pull people onto our side who may not normally agree with us. May not normally agree with us. I want to turn to something else, too. MSNBC yesterday ran a story in regards to it. And I normally wouldn't want to quote them, but I'll tell you this. If you are a left-leaning hack working in the government, you are going to turn to like a CNN, MSNBC, tell these outlets what's going on behind the scenes. And that's exactly what's playing out, it appears. In clip six, you're going to hear what MSNBC is reporting in regards to two prosecutors abruptly resigning over in the Southern District of Florida. That's where there's an ongoing criminal investigation into the Trump-Russia 2016 hoax. Take a listen.
We must start with the basis here, that there is this vast conspiracy that Trump administration officials have alleged that former intelligence and law enforcement officials during the Obama and Biden administrations undertook to undermine the candidacies and presidencies of Donald Trump. That is the baseline for this here. And late on Friday, we reported that at least 30 subpoenas were sent out by the Southern District of Florida U.S. Attorney to people like John Brennan and former FBI officials Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And now, along with our White House colleague Laura Barone Lopez and myself, we are reporting here that there are two junior U.S. attorneys who have since resigned from the Southern District of Florida after being asked to be a part of this investigation. I am told that one of the individuals who resigned, quote, felt like there was something they could not take part in because it would violate their ethical responsibilities. It is worth noting here that these were two junior U.S. assistant attorneys. I am told by somebody familiar that it would not be ordinary to have these junior U.S. attorneys, assistant U.S. attorneys, be called up for such major investigations like this. We have also learned that the individual that signed off on these subpoenas was the number three at the Southern District of Florida U.S. Attorney's office. Now, this is abnormal. This is the executive assistant U.S. attorney, because usually somebody in leadership doesn't sign off on indictments or subpoenas. Think back to when it was odd that Lindsey Halligan signed off on the indictments in the Northern District of Virginia, for instance, because she couldn't find any career prosecutors in the office to move forward with the indictments themselves. And that is what we are seeing down there in the Southern District of Florida, that the number three in the office is the one who signed off on at least some of these subpoenas. Now, that is what led this afternoon, we are told, to the U.S. attorney of the Southern District of Florida, the Trump-appointed Jason Reddy Quinones, to call a unit-wide meeting of 2 to 3 dozen prosecutors in the Major Crimes Division here this afternoon to address the concerns stemming from not only the investigation, but also the resignation of those two attorneys who were asked to be a part of the investigation. We still don't know the full scope of this investigation, but of course President Trump has explicitly called for the jailing of Barack Obama, to Clapper, to a series, a litany of other individuals, and we know that there's an investigation that is ongoing. Subpoenas have been sent out, and at least two U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys have so far resigned down in that district where this investigation is being conducted.
Now, we'll ask McBride about all of this probably later on in the show, of course, but again, I'm just so fed up with this. If you don't want to do your job, which is to go after corruption, then get out. You see, we didn't hear these stories in regards to DOJ, FBI employees leaving because they were asked to go after President Trump. Now, they had no problem with that. Why? Because they were politically aligned with the regime. Now, all of a sudden, they're pretending like there's some moral issues here because we're asking for accountability. Well, if you don't want to do your job, get out. Stop sitting here and trying to go. Or maybe, here's another idea. Maybe they're actually afraid because they know if Democrats ever get back in power, those who are part of the persecution, or I should say, digging into the persecution of President Donald Trump, going after those who he wants to hold accountable, maybe they fear that they're going to be next. I truly don't think that these people are balancing whether or not they are morally allowed to do what they're doing or if there's any ethical issues here in regards to any of that, because they all sat pretty and they allowed it to go down when it was the Biden regime calling the shots. But now that President Trump is saying, or the DOJ, I should say, because he claims that he has no interference in it with any of this, but now that it's the DOJ out here saying we want accountability, do your job, they all of a sudden need to resign. It's questionable. It's garbage. There's no reason for us to sit here and pretend like these people weren't compliant when they were trying to take over our country and go after their political opposition. They had no problem doing that. They had no problem going after January 6ers who showed up to a legal rally, were accused of maybe trespassing. So again, these prosecutors, yep, they can leave. But we're not going to sit here and pretend like the President of the United States is doing a persecution. Barack Obama, James Clapper, those names you just heard. Well, there's a reason why President Trump wants them behind bars, and it's because they committed acts of treason. Now, they deserve a day in court, of course, so that the world could hear their defense. But folks, enough is enough. I don't care about a prosecutor or two prosecutors in the Southern District of Florida calling out and saying, oh, we can't do this. Get out. Leave. Go work at a liberal law firm. Good luck. We'll find someone else to replace you. We should also start making more investments in conservatives who want to go to law school so we don't have these issues. Those who truly believe in the Constitution, we should be investing in them. Start paying for them to go to school. Because folks, those on the left have no problem going out there and practicing law. We need an arsenal of conservative attorneys who believe in the Constitution and don't pull nonsense like that. All right, I want to bring you the latest on the J6 pipe bomber investigation, the one's going on right now within Congress. Yesterday, Chairman Barry Loudermilk sent a letter. He's requesting to interview members of Kamala Harris's Secret Service detail regarding the pipe bomb incident at the DNC. Now, many of you guys know, it was very questionable where Kamala Harris was that day. And there were a lot of people who were criminally charged because they cooked up the charges, say that Kamala Harris was somewhere where apparently she wasn't at all. So now Loudermilk wants to talk to Secret Service because he wants to hear from them. And this is a great move. This is a great move. As many of you guys now know, it appears that she was actually over at the DNC headquarters. And as you know, that's where they're claiming that there was a pipe bomb located. Now, in regards to that pipe bomb investigation, the feds still claim that they have not yet found a suspect. The Blaze is naming someone we won't totally name yet because we haven't seen enough evidence, I believe. Steve Baker does do incredible work, though. And so when we learn more on that front, we will bring it to you. But the FBI is still claiming to me, and I can't say this with a straight face, that they're looking for the individual who placed those pipe bombs outside the DNC and the RNC. They still don't have any suspects. Ain't that strange? Ain't that strange? All right, when we are joined by Joseph McBriber to talk more about what's going on in Florida, I think it is quite fascinating, though, that in Florida right now, they have launched an investigation into J.P. Morgan Chase. I can't wait to hear from McBride, because McBride has a lot to sound off in regards to that, because, well, they are alleging that J.P. Morgan Chase apparently debanked the Trump Media Group right before they went public, which is obviously a massive, massive issue. I'm interested to hear the legal side of all of this. I know McBride will bring the fire, so we look forward to that. That will be in about 10 minutes. Let's keep diving into a couple of headlines. There's a lot that happened yesterday, of course. I want to talk to you all about Christina Bob because she made some very, very important allegations. But before we do that, it's important to highlight clip 8 because Ed Martin yesterday was speaking out in regards to pardoning those who have been targeted for the 2020 theft of our election. Those who were just trying to stand up for our election, stand up for President Trump. Well, they have been targeted, and President Trump yesterday issued a federal pardon. So that was very important. But we want to talk about the fake electors that they accuse of being fake electors, I should say, in Arizona, because they are still having this ongoing legal battle. It might end soon. The AG over there isn't saying yes or no. Christina Bob will walk us through those allegations in a moment, but I want to play clip 8 for you. Take a listen to Ed Martin, how he details the pardoning yesterday.
When we talked about the pardon of these alternate electors, at the heart of it was a desire, it seemed, of the conduct of these electors. They were being shut down. They were being silenced. And why? And the question was, what happened in the 2020 election? And so when we went back and looked at it, our goal was to pardon these electors. And when you pardon the alternate electors, you got to make the case and look closely at it. And what we saw was people, again, ordinary Americans, Steve, regular people, and their lawyers and others saying, let's use the system the way we're supposed to. And what they were doing, they were targeted for that. So what we saw and what we're laying out is what happened that they targeted? Why did they target it? What were the steps that were taken? And I think it all becomes a question to answer what happened with 2020. And again, General Bondi has put us on this task. She said to us, keep pushing, keep figuring it out. And so we're doing that.
So, in other words, keep pushing because we have to adjudicate with transparency in the public the stealing of the 2020 election.
Okay, so that's a good one, and we love it. And Ed Martin, by the way, patriot, loves this country, and I'm so excited that he's in the position he's in because I don't trust many, but I do sincerely trust him. So that was great to see. I want to keep diving into more headlines. Let's talk about Christina Bob because yesterday she unleashed some very serious allegations. And again, we haven't seen any facts to prove it yet, but this was a filing that she did post yesterday. It's actually right now up at judicialwatch.org. Bob is saying that she's one of the people who were targeted in that so-called fake electors issue in Arizona. Now, she's accusing the AG of potentially getting paid. Her campaign received $200,000 post-election from an entity sharing the exact address, president, executive director, and leadership as a group run by two people who you've probably heard of before. Now, again, let me just say before I say the names, these are allegations that are being made by Christina Bob, and we have not vetted these allegations. Mark Elias and Norm Eisen are the two names that they are dropping in this. Now, again, these are allegations and has not, you know, released any evidence in regards to any of this. But she's suggesting that Chris Mays, who is the Arizona AG, who a lot of people accuse of not legitimately winning that race, was somehow, some way, potentially paid through $200,000 that her campaign received from an entity related to those two individuals. And I've not seen comments from either of these individuals yet on this claim. Of course, we will cover it when they do comment on this. These are serious allegations that are being made. But again, we have not seen the evidence. But I think it's important to flag this for you and put it on your radar. I want to keep scrolling through all of this. Okay, so let's also talk about what's going on right now in regards to Tina Peters. In clip 9, you're going to hear Ed Martin talk about Tina Peters and what's currently going on. As many of you guys know, she's charged and was convicted in the state of Colorado. She was trying to sound the alarm on election fraud that was going on that she believed was happening. And they went after her and they sentenced her to 9 years in prison. Well, the federal government is now stepping in. We reported this last week. And they have asked the state of Colorado to get ready to transfer over to federal custody. Take a listen to Ed Martin detail the latest.
We're fighting for Tina Peters. You say, well, just go get her. Well, we got to work with Colorado.
Look, you've put Colorado Bureau of Prisons on notice that you want to transfer to a federal prison.
Yeah, and we did it. But we did it, I got to say, again, Todd Blanche is the guy leading on this. We did it in a way that puts the right kind of pressure on them. You know how this works. Right. If you're Colorado, right. I was chief of staff to the governor of Missouri once. Right. If the feds say we want something, you change your tune in terms of. So we did that. We're doing that. So there's a million steps.
Yeah. So that's good news to hear. That's good news to hear. Now, again, it's going to be a really difficult task, I gotta mention, because again, she is charged on a state level. So a pardon, a presidential pardon, does not save her from that. So we'll see what this actually leads to. We hope it leads to something, because Tina Peters is being persecuted. She's a political prisoner and she does not deserve what's happened to her thus far. And so we'll continue to keep our eye on that. I don't know if you guys saw this, and this was really important. Clip 10 we're going to play for you. There's apparently a terrorist who was killed in Gainesville, Florida. Now, they say that this individual comes from Turkey. I want you to listen to the story, because this was a really interesting one, and I don't think it's getting really any type of attention, and it definitely deserves that. Take a listen.
You're also learning more details tonight about the deadly deputy-involved shooting of a man accused of making terroristic threats against a Jewish temple in Tallahassee.
The suspect was a resident of Turkey who was killed when he tried to pull a gun on law enforcement yesterday. TV20's Ryan Hayes spent the day talking with neighbors who are calling the shooting shocking. Ryan.
Yeah, Dave, every neighbor that I spoke with this evening says they would have never expected something like this to happen here on Northwest 35th Way. Alachua County Sheriff's officials were serving a felony warrant under the Baker Act yesterday afternoon when deputies shot 38-year-old Ali Bayan from Turkey. Deputies say when attempting to serve the warrant, Bayan emerged with a handgun in his waistband. They say when Bayan reached for the gun, he was shot. Six deputies and two U.S. Marshals shot at Bayan, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Deputies say Bayan made terroristic threats against several elected officials, including a threat to blow up a Jewish temple in Tallahassee.
Now, again, we haven't seen those threats that they allege that he posted online, but isn't that interesting? He's from Turkey. It doesn't say whether or not he's a U.S. citizen, of course, whether he was here legally or illegally, but something worth bringing to your attention, of course. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Probably not on your radar, and it's important that we put it back onto your radar. Remember that Cybertruck that exploded outside of that Vegas Trump hotel? This was back on, I believe, New Year's Day. Take a look at that. Obviously, you remember this. This video was insane. It was absolutely insane. Well, Sean Ryan did an incredible job at trying to just put out the information that he had received from Matthew Livesburg. Now, this was the individual who sadly took his own life, and as you see, the truck exploded. But there's a lot of people who have severe questions, and I do as well, in regards to what happened here. There's a lot of questionable circumstances, of course. And asking questions is very, very important. Well, I had one major question that I had no idea actually happened. The New York Post is alleging that his 70-page, apparently, or just the manifesto itself, has been classified through the Department of Defense. Now, again, we don't know what's in it. I should say the Department of War. We don't know what's in it. But man, oh man, this obviously throws out smoke signals for people like myself. Now, I've reached out, as many of you guys know, I'm going to be covering the Pentagon starting next month. So I've reached out to the Pentagon for comment on this, and they did tell me they just need a little bit more time, but they will be getting back to me. But I want to find out, why was that manifesto classified? The American people deserve to see it, and the only reason I could see why something like that would be classified, if there was truthful information in that manifesto. So I'll keep you updated on that story, and when I learn more, I will share it with you all, of course. So make sure you tune in, because I'm sure I'll hear from them sometime this week on that, and we'll keep you posted. But a lot of questions surrounding that cyber truck explosion. And I've got questions that need answers. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We still have that BOGO sale going on right now. Buy one, get one free on methylene blue. As many of you guys know, it's not going to last forever. I actually don't know how much longer it's going to last. That's why it's important for you. Head on over to the site and grab yourself some of this right now. We also have a free hat out there as a thank you for those who have sacrificed, of course, so much for this country. You can head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and grab this hat. Whenever you purchase a supplement item, you're going to get one of these for free today. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, and it's also 25% off site wide. Head on over to the Alex Jones Store today.
I'm cutting this emergency announcement on the evening of Thursday, November 6, 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, just type InfoWars or Alex Jones in the search engine. You'll read all about the federal courts, the state courts, the receiver that's been appointed to come in and shut us down. He was here today. He said it might be next week. It might be in early December. They haven't decided when to shut us down. But we've set up the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, Real Alex Jones, Rumble. We have the new studios, new news sites we're going to be announcing and launching. The InfoWar lives on through you and I and the crew and everybody else. But right now, we need funds to keep InfoWars on the air just for the foreseeable future and for the new network, because the bad guys can't get the AlexJonesStore.com because Bigly, established for many, many, many years, dozens and dozens of major clients, they build the best quality shopping carts with the very best products, and they are our sponsor. So when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, there is a huge sale that is only running until Sunday at midnight. So you got like 3 days, 3.5 days. Any supplement you get, ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, procardiovascular, ultimate life force. We have it all. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research it for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. You can buy it once, cancel if you want, but get it first. You have a month to cancel. I know you're going to love it, and then keep it on auto ship. But bottom line, you get 50% off. Also, if you're a VIP, $30 a month, just like Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals, special sales, special offers just to you, and massive percentages off on everything. So if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. But right now, at TheAlexShowStore.com, on top of that, this is what ends Sunday, 25% off on top of all those sales. That makes many of these lost leaders. And then there's all the widest selection of Patriot apparel, T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, you name it. Wearing Patriot gear out in the public is an incredible adventure. It's like being Donald Trump or Alex Jones or Steve Bannon. Go out and do it. Experience it yourself and know your funding's operation. You have kept us on the air despite all the attacks and Arctic frost that's come out. We're all under attack because the bad guys hate us. But despite all those attacks, we're still here. And InfoWars lives on through the Alex Jones Network and through all of you. So take action right now. The sale goes until Sunday evening at midnight, Central Standard Time. Probably the biggest sale in the history of Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com. Have to check the other sales, there's other big ones, but 50% off on all the supplements and 25% off on top of it. Oh, and it gets more insane. Anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. It's the same shopping cart on your phone or the app on your computer. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bigly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app when we have the sales going. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore right now. The sale ends Sunday, thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for being the reason we'll always stay on the air. You are the InfoWar. I'm the InfoWar. We're a family, 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited to have you all on here today. A lot going on all around the country. We wanted to make sure that we kept your attention on all of these issues, so we're excited to do just that. I'll be joined in just a moment by Joseph McBride. He's an incredible trial attorney, and we have a lot that we want to break down with him, so we look forward to that. Also, Stuart Rhodes will be joining me in studio in the next hour, and we've got him for quite some time, so there's a lot that I want to ask him, of course, and so we'll do just that in the third hour of the program. But I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. I think this was a really big deal. Yesterday, the Florida Attorney General, James Uthmeyer, announced that his office has officially launched an investigation, a probe, into J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, he made the announcement in regards to the latest uncoverings from Arctic Frost and so much more
Take a listen to how he detailed the latest on his investigation.
Today, we've sent a letter and launched an investigation into J.P. Morgan Chase Bank after alarming revelations about their coordinated efforts with Jack Smith and the Department of Justice as part of the Biden administration's Operation Arctic Frost, where we now know Biden officials went after their political enemies. It's come to our attention that J.P. Morgan debanked Trump Media Group, a Florida-based company, right before the business went public. This is a crucial time for any company, a time where you cannot afford to lose your bank. In addition, we're aware that J.P. Morgan Bank solicited tons of information from Trump Media, unrelated to their business practices, and we believe provided sensitive banking information to the Department of Justice without real probable cause. This is wrong, we will not tolerate it, and we will hold them accountable. Here in Florida, we've passed legislation to protect our consumers from wrongful debanking, and we will stand by our consumers.
Florida is the future of this country, man. I say it all the time, but when you sit there and you watch this AG come out there and say that he's going to defend those in Florida who are going to be potentially taken advantage of by corporations and then have your information handed over to the federal government, that's exactly what you want from your state AG. Joining me to discuss right now is Joseph McBride. He's an incredible trial attorney, and he's my legal expert. And we've got a lot to discuss, so I'm excited to have him on today's show. All right, McBride, so listen, what's going on in Florida right now is pretty impressive to see the state AG stepping in, because he's alleging that Trump Media Group was debanked by J.P. Morgan Chase, and he wants answers in regards to that, because that was obviously right before they went public. So that's a very big deal. Your just kind of overall view and thoughts about the announcement that was made yesterday in Florida.
I think it's a great announcement. He's doing fantastic work here. J.P. Morgan is supposed to be a bank. Banks are supposed to be neutral. They're not supposed to be a field office for the Biden DOJ, but that is in fact what happened here. We all know that you can be debanked, you can be deplatformed, you can be sent to jail for having the wrong political opinions in this country. When a private institution like J.P. Morgan Chase looks at somebody's politics and then makes a political decision to work with the United States government to hurt a political actor absent probable cause, it's absolutely violative of a plethora of different rules. So what we have here is the U.S. Is the state attorney general in Florida, James Utermeyer, drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, you crossed the line. You can't do this. There needs to be accountability. So what they're going to do now is they're going to look into J.P. Morgan Chase. They're going to go over transactions. They're going to go over emails. They're going to go over internal reporting to see if there was any bias there. And if, in fact, there was, which they're probably going to find, then they'll be able to bring a state action against J.P. Morgan Chase for what they did during that time.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that they do address that, because the debanking issue is a big one, especially when a company's about to go public and this is what you pull last minute on them. It's not acceptable. I want to talk a little bit about what the AG is accusing them also of doing there. You hear him say things like there were certain documents that were handed over that were then possibly turned over to Jack Smith's office. Now, we've seen this time and time again, and we also, I've actually alleged independently that there may have been to Alex Jones. He may have also been a victim of this. I know that they tried to subpoena through Arctic Frost his phone records when he was able to fight that off, the judge also ruling in Alex's favor for them not to hand over his records. It potentially looks like there might have been another individual through a civil lawsuit who may have handed over potentially those documents, those phone records, because we could only tell that it says Alex Jones' cell phone. And this was in regards to the name on there has a connection between a civil lawsuit against Alex. And that itself is very alarming. Is it illegal? Let me just ask you this. Is it illegal for, let's say, a civil lawsuit, or is it illegal for a bank to, without probable cause, to hand over documents related to whether it's a cell phone record, whether it's your financial statements, hand it over to a special prosecutor that doesn't have probable cause?
So it's a great question. It's really going to turn on what the government said to JP Morgan Chase. If the government intimated or if the government sent the appropriate documentation saying that we're subpoenaing, we were looking for these records for our own reasons. The government doesn't necessarily need to give an explanation. Inherent in subpoena power is the idea that probable cause was there. But what do we know about the Biden administration? We know that they weaponized the justice system to deem that people were threats to the system, to the United States of America for political reasons. So what they did was they attached probable cause to political danger in a way that's improper, to be very invasive into people's lives, to cancel people across the internet, to debank them, to deplatform them, so on and so forth. So, I mean, just as a matter of first impression, I doubt that the Attorney General or Jack Smith called up JP Morgan Chase and said, hey, we don't have probable cause, but we want this documentation anyway. It's more likely that they told the JP Morgan and Chase, say, hey, here's our subpoena. This is the information that we're looking for. JP Morgan Chase may or may not have known that it was bunk, that it was really not true. But either way, they complied with the government. So we got to look at two things here. Number one, was there actual probable cause, or was the Biden administration just hunting down its political enemies? I'm going to take a bet here and say the Biden administration was hunting down its political enemies. And number two, was JP Morgan Chase sort of in cahoots with the Biden administration and just giving them everything that they needed absent a warrant? Or did the Biden administration actually give JP Morgan Chase the paperwork saying that we are requesting this information? If they did in fact give them that paperwork, then JP Morgan Chase will have a defense.
Yeah, well, we'll have to sit back and watch, and I look forward to seeing that unravel too, because it just seems like there was so much overreach in the Arctic Frost investigation, and that's obviously intentional. When it comes to debanking, though, Joseph, I don't know if you're familiar with the Florida laws that were recently passed, but what could possibly be the ramifications if the AG, the allegations that he is now circulating, if these are actually true and they were intentionally taken, the political retribution were taken out on them to debank them prior to going public?
So it really depends on what the specific Florida law states, what the facts are on point with regard to this question. But what I can say is this, is that the Florida Attorney General has a vested interest, he's duty bound. He swore an oath to uphold and protect the laws of the Constitution of the United States and for the people of Florida. Florida has a vested interest in making sure that its citizens and that its businesses are treated fairly. If, in fact, the Department of Justice worked with JP Morgan Chase to tank this company right before it was going to go public, then there will be a massive civil action on behalf of the state of Florida against JP Morgan Chase and against the Department of Justice for what they did. You can't do that. The AG in Florida is going to go to bat for his people. He's been doing that for quite a while now. He's doing a really good job. I'm very interested to see how far this goes.
Yeah. We're going to keep our eyes glued to that one, because that's going to be super revealing in regards to how far the lawfare went and then where do we go from here. And we want Florida to go out there and target these companies, because again, they continue to say that the White House is manipulating the DOJ, but they have zero control over the Florida state AG. And I think that will be telling what they uncover there, because it's almost going to be pretty hard for them to deny that the lawfare was being taken out on these companies too, that were also associated with Trump. So we'll look forward to that. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit to the Supreme Court, because a lot is on the SCOTUS plate these days. This one specifically is interesting on how they're weighing in on President Trump's tariff pass. They're looking to see whether or not he has authority to implement a lot of these tariffs that have brought in billions and billions of dollars worth of revenue. And President Trump, you know, he was sounding off and saying that it would be really it would be very, very expensive and it'd be very, very chaotic if they were to rule against him, because they've already implemented tariffs, and saying that potentially $3 trillion in revenue would be affected by all of this. So what's your take on what we've heard thus far? Because there were some key players over in the Supreme Court who were listening in on the opening arguments in regards to the tariff issue, and I didn't know which way they were going to go.
So it really comes down to a separation of powers question. And traditionally, Congress actually writes laws. The president obviously has great power when it comes to dealing with foreign nations. So it's a little bit of a gray area. I do think that as a matter of, let's just say, first impression, President Trump probably did step over the line a little bit. But That is not uncommon in the age that we live in. The executive branch has been stepping over the line and trampling on the legislative branch since Vietnam, right? And it grows in power with every administration. So was President Trump allowed to do what he did? I think so, probably. Is there a gray area where the legislative body can say, hey, look, this was within our purview. You were supposed to run it through us. Yes, that's why this is in front of the Supreme Court. But the bigger question here is, what do you do if they rule against Trump? Because you can't unring the bell, right? The tariffs are in motion. Money is being generated from them. You can't unwind what has already been done. And you can't set a standard to the world which says that, you know, if the president of the United States takes massive action, we can just destabilize markets just because somebody in Congress doesn't like what is taking place. So it's a very, very complex issue with regard to separation of powers. And it's also a further difficult by the fact that you can't unring this bell. There's no way to unwind what has already been done without massively hurting the American people. We're collecting on this. The tariffs are working out. You may, you know, want to look at how to re-look at laws and redraft laws going forward. But I think the American people get hurt here if President Trump's tariffs are overturned.
Yeah, it would be a massive loss for them. And most importantly, too, it's important to highlight that Biden also implemented a lot of tariffs as well. Just nobody wanted to cover it because they wanted to just, you know, turn a blind eye to a lot of things that were happening in the Biden regime. So no surprise there. I also want to get your take on this because this story broke late yesterday. President Trump is now asking the Supreme Court to get involved in regards to that $5 million civil judgment that was made against him in the E. Jean Carroll case. Now, for those of you at home, New York did, in fact, manipulate a lot of their laws to make sure and to clear the way for a lawsuit like this. And unfortunately, it did take place. Now he's asking the Supreme Court to step in on that defamation claim. He has said several times that he will not pay her out. His attorneys have said it too. They will not pay her out. What is your take on the president asking for the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, of course, step in there?
I think what he's doing is wise and it's great. Look, we all know that they turned that into a glorified Me Too show trial, that the rules were bent against President Trump, that witnesses were allowed to testify, burden of proofs were shifted. A lot of nefarious things happened during that case. They're not going to retry the facts of the case at the Supreme Court. But if the Supreme Court looks at the case and says, hey, this ruling happened wrongly because the rules were bent, because the Constitution was ignored, because burdens of proof were shifted, because procedure and law weren't followed, then they'll be able to toss it. And if they toss this judgment, then President Trump has grounds to go after the one after it, because the one after it heavily relies on this one. But it's important to realize that this is not going to be a retrial or a relitigation of those facts. They're going to be looking at, were the rules followed? If the rules were not followed, then this case should be tossed out. I feel strongly that President Trump will be vindicated by the Supreme Court in this case. I followed this trial closely, as did much of the people in our country, and the rules just were set aside. And I hope that they make the right decision here in this case.
Yeah, McBride, I hope they do too, and I hope that they step in on this one, because this is a big one. This could happen to anyone if they allow this to just kind of happen to President Trump, and I think that's a major issue that we need to take on. Justin McBride, thank you for all the incredible work that you do and helping us understand from a legal analyst perspective, of course, so thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Brianna, and happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there.
Yes, absolutely. Happy Veterans Day, folks. Joseph McBride, give him a follow on X if you haven't done so already. McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC. Folks, we've got a lot going on. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. There was a big brawl outside of a Turning Point event outside of UC Berkeley. Take a look at the video. I know Savannah Hernandez was on the ground as well, but this was the helicopter shot that you see over it. And again, Turning Point is accusing Antifa of being there and being the ones to kind of cause this issue, cause this reckoning. Now, there was an individual who was wearing a Freedom shirt, which is obviously the Charlie Kirk shirt. He was taken into custody with a bloody nose. We don't know how that happened. Again, we don't know what side he's on, but it did get bloody yesterday. Two men apparently were arrested in all of this. There were a couple people detained. I don't have the final numbers as of right now, but Turning Point's event still went on anyway. And as it rightfully should. Now, this is a video that comes from Savannah Hernandez over at Turning Point. As you could see, law enforcement is getting into a scruffle with these people, and they're just disrespectful. Watch as this officer just grabs whatever this is, a guy, girl, who knows, grabs them. Yep, goodbye. You won't listen? That's how it should be. Folks, we've had enough of this, and I know that the president hosted a roundtable on the violence amongst these far-left extremists. Again, this isn't a peaceful protest. This isn't a peaceful protest. This is a protest that is not peaceful. And this is a protest, of course, that is being operated by those who are domestic terrorists, according to President Trump, who has issued that executive order. So it's good to see law enforcement step in here. But again, you should be able to go to a Turning Point event without having these terrorists go after you. You should. And there's no excuse for that. None whatsoever. I want to keep highlighting the fact, oh, just got breaking news. Looks like Ken Paxton's office just sent this one out. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, apparently is suing Harris County, the commissioner court, for unlawfully allocating more than $1.3 million in public funds to radical leftist organizations that will use that money to oppose lawful deportations of illegal aliens. Paxton saying we must stop the left-wing radicals who are robbing Texans to prevent illegals from being deported by the Trump administration. So that announcement coming out right now is in a recent 4-1 vote in Harris County Commission Court to allocate over $1.3 million taxpayer funds to help illegal aliens fight off their legal cases. So good on the state agent. You guys are so good. I guess my email came in a little bit later than expected, but that just recently dropped in. So that is an important one. We were excited to see that our Texas AG is fighting back. All right, let's talk about Zohreh Mamdani. Zohreh Mamdani is obviously a scumbag, obviously a very hateful person who hates this country, and he's a communist. But we have this great article right up on Infowars.com right now, and Raw Egg Nationalist will be joining us tomorrow to also discuss several other articles that he's working on. But this one's really important. See, Zohreh Mamdani came out just a few days ago and said that my NYPD, he's the word my, as if he owns the police department. Yeah, he did. He did. He obviously will have control over the police department, but they are not his NYPD. The New York Socialist mayor elected Zohreh Mamdani has said he's not bothered by facing backlash from the city's police department. Now, there's going to be tons of resignations, and he's saying that he plans on filling up those slots with social workers. Yeah, I'm sure those jobs are going to go like hotcakes. Imagine they're going to have a social worker go to a door rather than an armed police officer. Folks, when there's a domestic dispute, if you're a member of law enforcement, you know damn well you do not want to go there unarmed. Unarmed. And sadly, we're about to see that social experiment with defund the police really get to work. Whether or not we save more lives of social workers or actual law enforcement officers, well, that experiment's about to happen in New York City, sadly. And so it's important that we keep your eyes there, of course, and we'll keep you bringing you the very latest on that front. Our DOJ charged two Cleveland, I'm going to say Indians. I know that they changed the name Guardian because of all the woke nonsense, but Major League Baseball team, Cleveland Indians, because apparently two of their pitchers are accusing, Emmanuel Class and Luis Ortiz, have been charged with participating in a plot to manipulate bets on Major League Baseball games. Now, again, the government's accusing both of them, multiple counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to influence sporting events through bribery, conspiracy to launder money. But they're claiming that these two individuals were obviously pitchers or were rigging the game according to whatever they wanted to bet on. Again, this follows the very latest arrest to go down over at the NBA as well. As you see on your screen, this is the criminal indictment. But, you know, they're saying that these individuals did just that. Now, it's important to know that they are claiming their innocence. Their attorney speaking out saying there is no credible evidence. Lewis knowingly did anything other than try to win games with every pitch in every inning. So we'll continue to follow this story. Again, these are the allegations that are being made right now by the Department of Justice. and we will continue to follow just that. All right, the Olympics. The Olympics is expected to ban for the 2028 Olympics transgender women, and I say women lightly, of course, competing in the Los Angeles Games. Currently, right now, there's a threshold for testosterone levels for transgender women's eligibility. I'll get it together eventually, folks. That's what they're claiming. So they actually might end up banning them. Why? Well, because they've just discovered that there actually might be an advantage to having a biological man competing in a female sport. No way. Don't you love science when it's actually utilized for something that's common sense? Yeah, that's what you want to say. A biological man beating up on a woman. Just give her some pink hair and we'll pretend like it's a woman. So that's interesting to see play out. All right. Libs on TikTok broke a story yesterday that I thought was really important. Actually, this was, I believe, Sunday. An individual named David is coming forward and saying that he submitted a job application to Coca-Cola, citing he had 20 years of experience in the industry. But his application was rejected the very next day. Now, as you could assume, sounds like David is white. So what apparently he did, according to Libs on TikTok, is he then sent in another application, just changing his name to Deshaun, and reduced his work experience to only 5 years. So from 20 years to 5 years. And then guess what? His application under the name Deshaun was accepted. He was given the opportunity to do an interview. Now, Libs on TikTok said that they've reached out to Coca-Cola on this report. The accusations, they say, is untrue. As the fake application, of course, that's what they're claiming. They're claiming this was not true. But according to Libs on TikTok, they're reporting this was true. So if you change your name to Deshaun, they're alleging that you might actually get in if you want a job at Coca-Cola. Interesting report. One that's worth noting, of course. One that's worth noting, of course. All right, let's turn to another story. This one is very disturbing. We'll spare you of the details. But you might remember this person, this individual was celebrated by the rainbow community as the very first transgender U.S. lawmaker. Well, shocker alert, his name is Barry, by the way. We're not going to refer to him as his fake name. Just recently pleaded guilty to sex crimes against children. Now, this involved children and at a toddler's daycare center. Apparently, his girlfriend was working there and had sent back and forth images of child predator-like behavior, of course. He's now facing 30 years in prison. He was the former New Hampshire representative, Barry Lafton, and he's now looking at 30 years in prison. He was previously forced to resign twice from his position over three felony convictions for credit card fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud. No. Yeah, I'm so surprised. He's a fraudster? No, that's a woman. Trust that guy. No surprise there. Folks, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. As a thank you to those who have sacrificed so much for this great nation, we're doing a giveaway. Whenever you purchase a supplement, you'll get a free InfoWars hat. Plus, for a limited time, it's buy one, get one free on Methylene Blue. It's going on for just a few more hours, so head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab yourself some. We'll be right back. Stuart Rhodes in studio.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart it removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the Methylene Blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up faster. So buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? You talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
Oh, one more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with and they're willing to work with me and I really got to have fun with them and I got to bring some cool things to market like methyl drive and power plant specifically I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country. And what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the AlexJonesStore.com today. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
No longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms. And we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, you know, what's the word? Barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever, openly. Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God. Like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian...
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Excited for you all to be here in the third hour of the program. We're keeping our eyes right now in Arlington. We're expected to possibly hear from President Trump. If he does begin speaking, we will bring that straight to you, of course, on this Veterans Day. And, we've been trying to reflect, obviously, on our vets and, obviously pay our thanks to them for all the incredible things that they've done for this great nation. I know early in the show I was talk about my father, obviously someone who served in Vietnam, someone I talk about quite often on this show, but I am very proud of him. Once this show wraps, I'll have to give him a call because I did text him this morning saying happy Veterans Day. But we all need to call those who have served this great nation and check in on them and also give them thanks and appreciation. But again, we're keeping our eye on President Trump right now in Arlington. When we see he's making his way over and when he's expected to speak, we will pop on in there. But speaking of vets, I've got our good old friend, Mr. Stuart Rhodes, in studio today. Thank you, my friend, for being here.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
It's an honor to have you here, especially someone who served in the Army and someone who has served this great nation in many capacities. I just want to give you the floor right now to reflect on this Veterans Day because we don't do enough of that.
Yeah, amen. And so I think it's important for all Americans, veterans included, to remember where we came from, all the sacrifices of those who came before us, and to understand that now it's our turn to stand up. Because otherwise, all that they sacrificed and all they suffered and went through was for nothing if we don't stand up and defend this Constitution and defend our republic.
Yeah.
So it's on us. That's why I think it's good to see President Trump at Arlington. I would advise anybody in Washington, D.C., Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, all of them that are failing us, they should go walk through Arlington, look at all the headstones, and read who they were and how young they were when they died, and then reflect on their responsibility. Because I got no F's to give for any excuses coming out of them right now for not doing their job to defend the Constitution. They all took the same oath I did. And so you hear all kinds of excuses and people apologizing or making excuses for them. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
So we got to remember where we came from and what was done before us, and then stand up and have the same kind of courage.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to take this in. I wanted to talk about renewing people's oaths. You know, obviously, right, when you serve this great nation, you take an oath,
right,
to do just that. And this is something that you have obviously been very passionate about as, right, the founder of the Oath Keepers.
To defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, was the oath that I took as a paratrooper. Same oath that police officers take across the country. It's the same oath. And the founders, in their wisdom, put that in the Constitution itself, in Article 6, a requirement that everyone must swear that oath.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. Yesterday, we actually had a caller call into the show, Savage Dog. He's an often caller, right, to this program, and he was saying how important it is for those who have taken the oath to create groups and to militant groups and try to protect the American people, because right now we are dealing with a massive, massive threat.
Yes.
Obviously, you are someone who is well-versed in all of this.
Right.
What's your takeaway from that?
No, absolutely. I think what Sarah Adams was talking about it.
Yeah.
You've got multiple people that are experts on terrorism talking about the upcoming attack that's going to happen inside the United States, an October 7 style attack or Mumbai style terror attack inside the United States. It is coming. And General Flynn talked about that yesterday with Alex. He thinks within the next 90 days. I think he's probably right. So that's one reason why I'm re-energizing and restarting Oath Keepers, is that we have a duty in this country to remind everyone that took the oath of that core responsibility to honor the oath, but also to get back to the business of preparing Americans for what's coming. So down at the very grassroots level, I think it's high time that all the veterans come together, and then all the other men in the community too. All men are responsible to be protectors. And so, you know, no one gets a pass because you're no longer serving. You're still on the hook. Your oath doesn't expire until you do. But if you're not a veteran, you're responsible as a man, as an American man, to stand up and protect, you know, the people in danger. So I think it's incredibly important for us to start gathering together at the county level, you know, actually neighborhood, town, and county, and coming together for that one purpose, to protect against the terror attacks we know are coming. And so that's part of what we're going to be doing within Oath Keepers, is what we call the Strong County Project, to focus at the local level. And number one job is security. You can set aside politics and arguing, you know, how many angels fit on a head of a pin and all your different disputes you have inside of MAGA, but focus on the threat and focus on your responsibility to prepare and protect against it.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And I'm going to get your take on this in a little bit, but obviously today I've been sounding off because I've been very upset with the White House. Yesterday we saw something that was gut-wrenching. We saw the so-called Syrian leader make his way into the White House. We all know he's an Islamic terrorist.
Right.
It's well-documented. Our own government put a $10 million bounty on his head. And I kind of wanted to, obviously as a veteran, when you're sitting back and you're watching President Trump welcome this guy to the White House, and then President Trump, we played the clip earlier in the show, says, oh, yeah, he's had a rough past. I mean, what's your feeling when you see that happening at our White House?
It's sadly the same pattern we've seen across multiple administrations, where the Muslim Brotherhood is able to infiltrate every administration in our government, you know, whether it was Bush and then Trump, the first one, and now, again, same story. And so I think, I don't know if it's not being naive. How could it be naive about that?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that can be. And the same goes for the 600,000 Chinese students. Like you said, I was listening earlier, you know, absolutely they're going to be spies for communist China. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And so they shouldn't even be here at all. And so it's really disturbing to see President Trump apparently either not know or pretend not to know the threat. We're already at war with China. You know, they use what they call unrestricted warfare, and part of that is the cartels and the fentanyl, but another part of it is all the espionage, like you were talking about, all the espionage and all the spying that's being done by their nationals coming into the United States. And not only do you have all the 600,000 students who are coming in overtly, you also have all the ones who came across the border illegally as refugees who were military-aged males from China. Among them, of course, the majority are going to be PLA troops. That's what they are. So we need to recognize the reality is that we are already being invaded, we're already facing an insurrection, and President Trump long ago should have called forth the militia to prepare to put it down. And that includes all of us. So he could call up, and he should call up every able-bodied male from 17 to 45. I've been saying this for years, but that's what he can do right now. We have an invasion, we have an insurrection, and we have a direct opposition with force for the execution of the laws of the union. Those are the three purposes listed, the militia statutes for him calling forth the militia. It's also what's listed in the Insurrection Act as the triggers for him being able to take action. So he's beyond justified in doing it. But it shouldn't just be the National Guard. That's the select militia. That's part of the militia. The rest of the militia is all of us able-bodied males, 17 to 45, and for us veterans, it goes to age 64 because of our prior training experience. He can call us all up and should.
Yeah.
And organize us in our counties and tell us to stand to and wait for his orders. That's what he should be doing.
Well, I think it's a great idea, honestly, because I'm sitting back and I'm watching what's happening, and it's very upsetting. You know, when we talk about China, what they've been able to do over these last few years under the Biden regime, they have been able to infiltrate like no other. I mean, they were able to even operate, and it's so mind-blowing, police stations in New York City.
Right.
And the FBI knew about it. Everyone knew about it. They allowed it to go on for over a year, and then they stepped in like, oh, we have to shut this down. But they were going – they came here – for many reasons, but one was to go after those Chinese immigrants that did legally migrate to the United States. And they were looking for freedom. They were harassing them. We know that throughout Queens, New York, there were many stories of Chinese immigrants saying that this police department that they allowed to be open in New York City was a group of people who obviously working for the CCP and were going after these people and targeting them. And that's not supposed to happen on U.S. soil. But Stuart, when I sit here and listen to all these stories and I'm watching what's happening in the White House, you know, I hate blackpilling everyone, but as at this point, I no longer have faith right now in our federal government. I think it's important for all of us locally to begin the process of preparing for the inevitable, what might actually happen when we bring in thousands of Islamic terrorists.
It's going to happen, absolutely.
Thousands right. of Chinese, yeah. So many. So let's talk about the
local election. I agree. I think we should continue to push President Trump to do what's within his power as commander-in-chief, his duty to do, but also have to admit that the trajectory is not looking good for the Trump administration right now. And so we can't wait for that. We should be organizing ourselves for mutual defense at the local level.
Yeah, and President Trump is there right now in Arlington. Obviously, he's going to do the reef placement in just a few moments. So we look forward to seeing that. We'll keep it on the screen for now as he's there. Obviously, we want to pay respect to our veterans. But what happened yesterday, I mean, on the 250th birthday of our Marines, and he just brings an Islamic terrorist into the White House, it's really hard for us to look away and pretend like this is acceptable behavior. It is unacceptable, Stuart.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine what it's like for veterans who have served this great nation to sit back and watch that and then watch this. I mean, yes, he's paying his respect and he says he does respect our vets, but man, oh man, was yesterday a slap in the face for so many great Americans.
Yeah, agreed. That's the problem is that I don't know what's going on in the White House, but it's a mess and we have to just drive on ourselves. I mean, MAGA, I have to disagree with President Trump on that. He didn't create MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a surfer that jumped on a wave that was already existing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw different versions of it over the years. The Ron Paul movement was very much the same people. Mm-hmm. America first, constitutionalist, loyal to this country. That's who energized the Ron Paul campaign. And the same goes for the Tea Party movement. So MAGA is just the latest label put on the already existing wave that was already building up. It's been there for decades. And President Trump, you know, to his credit, took that. And then was able to surf that into the White House, you know, actually three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won three elections. So, and you got to give him credit for that. But he has to do what he told people he would do. You know, I got the Trump tattoo on my arm when he got shot while I was in prison. I got that tattoo because he showed strength and courage that day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I hate for that to be the high watermark of Trump's legacy is him standing up in Butler and saying, fight, fight, fight. But once we put him back in for that purpose, and God saved him that day, I believe, for that purpose, to save America. That's why he's still here. That's why his head didn't explode that day. He was given the grace of God to then do his destiny. His destiny should be to defeat the deep state. You don't defeat the deep state by the actions he's doing right now, though. All he's doing is perpetuating it. And square one, he should be firing Cash Patel, Bongino, and Pam Bondi, and Todd Blanche. Those are the four that should go right away.
Yeah, and it's hard to sit back and watch. And, you know, obviously, folks, in case you're unfamiliar, Rhodes, you are actually a criminal defense attorney. You've practiced before previously.
I'm a recovering lawyer, like being a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah. Right. And also, the Ivy League thing also adds to that as well.
Yeah, don't take it out on me. I went to Yale Law School, graduated from there. I clerked for the Arizona Supreme Court. Then I was a criminal defense attorney in Montana. But I realized that our criminal justice system is completely broken long ago. Before I became a victim of it,
yeah.
I realized it was broken. And all the more so since, you know, serving as a political prisoner in my own country.
Yeah.
So it's broken from top to bottom. It needs to be completely scrapped and redone. But what's coming out of Pam Bondi's office, I mean, no accountability for any of the prosecutors who suborned perjury, intimidated witnesses, all the crimes they committed federal, you know, felony crimes have not been taken into account yet. So I don't see anything coming out of her to reform the justice system at all.
Yeah, and I want to keep diving into that because I think that's really telling in itself, right, folks? We talk about it often in this show. You know, we try to be as transparent as we can by bringing you the truth. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a bunch of lies. The reality of it is right now we have a very rough situation over at the DOJ. Not enough is being done. And for us on the outside looking in, it looks like they're running the clock down. It looks like they're intentionally not prosecuting a lot of these key cases.
Right.
Or they're slow rolling it, Stuart. And you would know from the legal side of all of this.
Yeah, looking at a five-year statute of limitations on a lot of these crimes. Mm-hmm. And so within the next 2 months, they'll be expiring. So the ability to prosecute these people. So that's the problem, is that when the left takes over, like when Obama came in, he purged the military, he purged DOJ, he purged anybody in the federal government that wasn't going to be on his program. And I think, you know, we should be doing the same thing to them. When we come into power again, just last time, the purge has not yet happened. All the prosecutors, you know, they're leaving voluntarily. Some of them are resigning. But for the most part, they're all still there. And they're the ones that are blocking everything that's supposed to be done inside of the DOJ to drain the swamp. The same goes for the FBI. You know, Cash Patel has not fired a 5,000 FBI agents who were sent across the country to persecute Americans, not just J6ers, but, you know, anti-abortion protesters, the right to have, you know, girls in locker rooms not being molested by men. All of those activists were targeted by the FBI. So I said on Alex's show the other night, I think it's important for us to purge them all out. And I believe every paid informant who was ever hired by the FBI illegitimately to go out and persecute the political right should also be identified to the American people. Their faces should be all over billboards across the country so that you know who in your neighborhoods and your towns you cannot trust, who already served as a snitch illegitimately for the FBI. They should be exposed. Because until that happens, we're going to see more entrapment of Americans, even under Trump's current administration, just like the first time. Yeah. All that was done under his first administration.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, right? Because we sit here and we look back and we always say we want accountability. We want to make sure that President Trump is filtering through all of this. But the FBI has been a complete disappointment. I mean, I sat here and endorsed Cash Patel because the guy literally wrote a book about going after all these key players.
Right, government gangsters. Yeah.
And it sounded like he knew what he was doing. And unfortunately,
I read that when I was in prison.
Oh, how was it?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded wonderful. It sounded like he was going to go in there and actually clean house. But look what he's done.
Look what he's done. And I think it's really important to note, too. And I keep telling everyone, look over what happened, because President Trump, you gotta wonder what's going on here, right? Because the Missouri AG was taken out of his position, Andrew Bailey, and shifted over to the FBI and was put in a position we've never heard of before, co-deputy director. Andrew Bailey, now that guy. But for me, I'm watching and I'm listening to people in his office telling me that, oh, he thinks that possibly he's going to be doing the switch, where if Pam Bondi isn't the one who's going to be going after these people, that quickly President Trump can move him over to the AG's office, and he's already been read in all these cases. And so he hit the ground running. What are your thoughts there? Because again, it didn't make any sense why Bailey was being brought into the FBI, but that's the only thing that truly does make sense at this point.
I hope so. I hope, you know, anything's better than Pam Bondi right now.
Yeah.
I consider her Bill Barr with a dress and a wig.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. I don't understand how we're not demanding more from these individuals. And, you know, in the next segment, I want to get into a little bit about justice, because we're not seeing much in the way of the Department of Justice. And she said it during confirmation hearing, we'll go into it in a little bit, but going after the Bureau of Prisons, going after those who manipulated the system. I mean, we haven't seen anything happen.
Right.
So I'll talk to you about that.
And I don't think you're going to see anything happen. I mean, she's a career prosecutor.
Yeah.
It's kind of like expecting a career police officer to bring into account bad cops. It's very rare for that to ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to give each other a pass. I think the same thing goes for prosecutors.
And the FBI, too. When we talk about going after those who have misused the office, who were, or just people who were going along with lawfare and just pretending, oh, I was just doing my job.
Right.
We're not hearing specifics as to who's been fired, how many people have been fired.
And almost none. Only the ones that were disclosed to have been spying mm-hmm. on congressmen got fired.
Yeah.
That's the only time that they actually hit a third rail. Otherwise, they're given a free pass.
Well, Stuart, this is really important, too, because Arctic Frost, I was infuriated, right? Because I've been trying for, and you and I met when you were in prison,
right,
and you were in jail, and I was reaching out to
you. You were one of the few journalists that had the integrity to interview me back then.
Thank you.
So props to you.
Well, you opened up my eyes to a lot. I started off very neutral on this front, and I didn't honestly know which way I was going to side with it. And I just wanted to hear from your take, and you outlined it clear as day. When we spoke on the phone, you said to me, you see what's happening to me right now. You saw what happened to me in court. They are just trying trying to do a blueprint for what's going to happen to President Trump. And you were right.
Right.
They did exactly that. You were
that was
one.
Before they charged him. Yeah.
Yep. That was before they charged him. You right. saw right through it all.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to Tario and he was telling me what's happening behind the scenes as well, to him as well. And it was just this clear as day case that they were doing their very best to try to get people to flip on President Trump, mm-hmm. but then they were also trying to test the court system to see that if it would work for you, it would work for, I mean, there was perjury committed during your trial. There was so much that happened to you.
Yes.
And not a single person still to this day has been held accountable.
Right. Absolutely. All the lawfare against us was just a buildup to get President Trump. That's all it was for. All of our prosecutions, all the guys that were coerced into false confessions and then coerced into, you know, talking trash about President Trump I say coerced because they were threatened with many years, decades in prison. I'm one of the exceptions. I refuse to say anything against President Trump in my sentencing. But a lot of guys were coached by their lawyers, which are terrible lawyers, frankly. Yeah. Lawyers in this country right now will advise their client to do the most dishonorable, actions and for their own safety. And so I think it's disgusting to see what happened. But all that was a machine to smear President Trump, deflect attention from what they had already done, you know, stole the election, and also to suppress the MAGA movement, to terrorize us all. But what man means for evil, God will use for good. It didn't work. And this is what's frustrating, though, is that we've been given a brief reprieve, some grace to then fix this country and save it. And we have to press President Trump to do his duty. I don't want to hear any excuses for why, you know, I don't want to hear about fifth dimension chess or kind of nonsense. Until we see perp walks, nothing's being done. That's where you have to say, okay, that's not happening yet. It should happen right now. It should have happened long before now. 10 months is way too long. They were prosecuting us within weeks.
Yep.
They've been arresting people within days, actually, of J6. And so we need to see results. And if we're not going to see results, I think we should go march on Washington on J6 and go do a massive protest outside the White House demanding that President Trump fire Patel, fire Bondi, fire Bongino, clean house in the FBI and DOJ so we can actually have some justice. And not just for ourselves, J6ers, but also for all of our country, because you got to fix the 2020 election. Once you give accountability for that and fix our electoral system, they'll keep stealing elections going forward. You don't have a republic anymore.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I want to get to the J6 angle and all of this in just a few moments, too, when we come back from the break. But I also want to get your take. We're watching as Antifa is doing what they do best.
Right.
And the president, he threw an executive order designating him as a terrorist organization, but the reality of it is that we saw what happened yesterday at UC Berkeley.
Yep.
We saw what they did to just for a simple turning point event. Again, they are allowed to be there. They were lawfully there, those at the turning point event, and this is what they're dealing with. Those were smacked in the face, apparently, allegedly by these Antifa members.
Same thing we saw in 2017.
You know, what's changed?
Nothing. And that's why we went to Berkeley twice to protect, successfully protect free speech in the downtown Martin Luther King Park. We were there. The Proud Boys were there. Other groups, 3%ers. You know, we all got together and protected those because no one else was doing it. The cops weren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to step up and do it ourselves. And that's one reason why I'm relaunching Oath Keepers also, because I see things like this happening again. And it's important for us veterans to be in the streets, retired military or police, protecting Americans. And this is why President Trump should call forth the militia, including all of us, but at least the National Guard. They should be in Berkeley right now.
Yeah, and that's big news that you're calling on, you know, to bring back the Oath Keepers, to bring back this, because we're sitting back watching, and it's really sad, it's really frustrating, but the president just seems to be asleep at the wheel. We saw the roundtable where he brought all these people, these well-known conservative influencers in to have a discussion,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't seen much happen here. And, you know, while we sat back and we watched Charlie Kirk get assassinated, I know people are floating all these ideas as to who it was, but the reality of it is he's still saying that it was a left-winger and it was funded by left-wing terrorist organizations, and yet there was not doors being ripped off the hinges at 6 a.m. the following day after Charlie's funeral. Had me infuriated. We've got about 1 minute yet left. Your reaction to just the lack of response there?
I mean, it goes, like I said, the FBI, frankly, should be disbanded. I think it's been broken from the very beginning, but right now under Kash Patel, all they do is cover and spin, and we can't trust anything coming out of that office.
Yeah.
So I don't believe anything in the Charlie Kirk assassination investigation is accurate. I think Candace is probably right. I think that they're on the right track, and so is Tucker, and that's why they're being demonized and attacked. That's why Kash Patel was screaming and yelling about Tulsi Gabbard looking into foreign influence or involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. He doesn't want her looking at it. I think Kash Patel's been compromised. I really do. And that's why I think he needs to go. Because he can't be that incompetent. He's covering for them. He's not just being incompetent, not doing his job. He's actually covering and protecting what's really happening.
Yeah.
Like, look at his excuse for the 274 FBI agents were in the crowd on J6. You know, it came out of a leak out of Congress, not from Patel, like it should have been. But his cover for it is, oh, they were improperly used to do crowd control that day. That's just nonsense. Steve Baker pointed out, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kesh Patel, I think, is just displayed himself as, frankly, a traitor. Needs to be removed from power.
Yeah, well, there's more to dive in there, and I look forward to doing that just after this quick break. Again, to our audience, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com as a thank you to all of who have sacrificed so much for this great nation. When you buy a supplement today, you're going to get a free InfoWars hat as well, just for today alone. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab a supplement and get a free InfoWars hat. More with Stuart in just a moment.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss. It's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones Store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I'm excited you're all joining us today. We're keeping our eyes on President Trump right now, who is remembering our service members, of course, over in Arlington. So we will bring you the very latest when he begins to speak, of course. But I am joined here in studio by none other than Stuart Rhodes. Stuart Rhodes, many of you guys know, is the founder of the Oath Keepers, and he's also a recovering criminal defense attorney as well. And we've got a lot to discuss with this guy. So for those of you at home who didn't know, I actually met Stuart and I made my mom very nervous when she saw that I was writing guys in prison. she was very much on edge. But she comes to my apartment one day and there's a stack of just actual letters that I was sending over to the guys who were leaving the jail and to wherever they were just so that they could stay in touch. And my mom looks over and she goes, "Brianna, what is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's just a new dating service, Mom." And that was the joke. She didn't find it too funny, though. But
awesome.
The reality is I was trying to keep up with the J6ers, both male and female J6ers, and try to keep up to make sure you guys were okay in there, because there weren't many people wanting to hear your side of a lot of this.
Yeah, we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, of course, you know, when we see our fellow American patriots who are going to be dragged off and be made examples out of, we should not back down. And it's just such a disgrace that so many people didn't do the same, to reach out, to talk to people. Even to this day, we still have patriots in prison. You know, I'm advocating for so many people to be brought out. You know, the two individuals who were charged in the Whitmer kidnapping plot, and this is an absolute disgrace. They are sitting right now in federal custody still to this day. Yeah. They have not been pardoned. You know, I spoke with Ed Martin. Ed Martin said they were looking into it.
They should be pardoned. Yes.
Yeah, well, and when we did the interview, Ed Martin was on board with all of it. The interview went viral, and then sadly, Whitmer heard about it, and she apparently stepped her foot in and tried to get President Trump to stop, and according to her, President Trump said, "If you don't want it, then we won't do it," and we haven't heard since then, which is an absolute disgrace. So those men were set up by the FBI. More FBI involvement in that fake Whitmer hoax, kidnapping hoax, than actual individuals that wanted her to kidnap her.
That's their pattern. The same thing was done to the Ammon Bundy standoff at the Mallory occupation. There were actually like 12 FBI agents or provocateurs around him, more than the people that were not around. And, that's nothing against Ammon. That's how they infiltrate. That's how they take over something and then manipulate it into an entrapment. That's how they do it all the time.
Yeah.
We saw that within Oath Keepers. We had a high-ranking Oath Keeper. I'm still under a gag order. Can't say his name, but the New York Times outed him, thankfully. That's karma for you. So same thing happened to us. They put it infiltrators. That's why I said what I said. You got to purge out all the FBI agents who persecuted us, and you should also identify and publish the names of all the informants over the years so the American people know who they are. And that helps to deactivate their effectiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they need to. And it also creates a lot of questionable situations. Like a lot of people question whether or not this person is informant or not. And I think to free up people who are being wrongfully accused of being an informant, I think you have to do that. You know, you even face those accusations and you face accusations while you were in jail. What is it like for when someone's wrongfully accused of that to be placed in jail?
It's surreal, right? Yeah. So because I wasn't arrested for a year, I didn't go inside. I didn't fight any cops. Mm-hmm. And so they had to go cook up false testimony against me before they justified an indictment. But because I hadn't been arrested, well, Stuart Rhodes must be a fed. That's why he hasn't been arrested yet. So people are demanding my arrest on our side, oddly. So then when I finally am arrested and held in solitary confinement for over a year and face, you know, 18 years in prison, 18-year sentence without bitching out, without backing down, I told the jury the election was stolen, unconstitutional. I told the judge the exact same thing. You know, I didn't give an inch. So it's really a surreal experience to be in prison looking back on people that accused. That's how it goes, though. There's so many snitches out there and so many undercover operations running that no one knows who to trust. And that's part of the intent of the secret police, whether it's KGB or the Stasi or Gestapo. It's the same throughout history. Make everyone suspicious of everyone around them and afraid to associate and afraid to organize and suppress everybody. That's what they've done. That's the whole point. So you can't let yourself be suppressed. Like, we start Oath Keepers, it's a double-edged sword because I don't want to expose good men to being entrapped, but we also have a duty and responsibility to come together and protect our fellow Americans against Antifa violence, against jihadists, or whatever they try to cook up to destabilize this country. We have a duty and responsibility to come together, so we just have to just understand the terrain and do it as wisely as we can, as carefully as we can, And even when you do the best you can, like we had no use of force incidents all that time, we were doing security across the country for Act America, for example, in their march against Sharia, all across the country protecting them. Trump supporters everywhere. Not one use of force incident. We were very effective, but we still got railroaded for January 6th.
Yeah.
So the reality is, that's why you have to purge the government of these bad actors. And Trump has to take the deep state down now in this administration while he's commander in chief. He needs to pull out all the stops and get it done now. That's why I've always been advocating for a mass declassification exposure of all the dirt, expose them all now, take them down, whatever the cost may be, to get it done now, because you can't let them come back into power. If they come back into power, it's going to be exponentially worse for everyone in this country. You know, as Alex was talking about, they had a list of thousands of Americans that were going to go put in prison and put in camps. That's what their plan, was. And that should be no surprise. That's what communists do throughout history. So we can't let them get back into power. And so President Trump needs to be pushed by his base to keep his promises to actually take the deep state down. And I don't want to have any, I don't want to hear any excuses out of anybody about why it's not being done.
Yeah, and we demand just that. We didn't vote for a guy who was going to kind of, go a little fair, we want them all gone. We want them all dragged off to prison, because what they did to this country was absolutely disgraceful. And like you said, they'll take us all and put us all in camps.
Right.
I mean, that's not an over-exaggeration. That's not fear-mongering. We saw it happen.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, and they always start sample size. They always go after a couple of people first, see if we allow it, then keep extending it out and out. And we've watched that as it unraveled. And so many people are too cowardly to call out what was happening on January 6th. Again, Stuart, we saw the reports about the Oath Keepers, and often the mainstream media would refer to you guys as a violent militia group.
Right. And that's why I keep stressing, we actually never had to use force.
Yes.
We had the capacity to use force, very well-trained men. You know, like 30% of our organization was retired police officers who can carry all across the country under LEOSA. And so the enemy were afraid to close with us because of our competency. We never had to actually use force. So it's really weird that they call us one of the more violent, radical, extremist anti-government, it's just complete nonsense.
Well, that's a key point here that I want to keep dragging home, because, I started off J6 stuff like very down the middle, didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know anything about the Oath Keepers. But during my research, as people are telling me, oh, yeah, they're a violent militia group, I'm asking, well, when have they been convicted? Show me videos.
Right.
And there's nothing out there.
Nothing, yeah.
And it's so unfortunate that so many Americans don't ask that basic question. And then engaging in conversation with you, it was very clear to me, and after watching what happened during your trial, that you were targeted by our federal government. And I kind of wanted to dip into the trial a bit, because Steve Baker did an incredible job at exposing the lies, the nonsense that happened. And I don't know if we could talk about the judge specifically, but he allowed something.
Yeah, Judge Mehta, yeah.
Okay. So he allowed something during your trial, which was insane, and it set off a red flag in Steve Baker's mind when he saw him suppress a document that was drafted up apparently allegedly by Harry Dunn, Officer Harry Dunn, the Capitol police officer that day. According to those, and you weren't in the Capitol that day, and you never instructed them to go into the Capitol that day.
Right.
But a group of the Oath Keepers did, a small group did go inside the Capitol.
And helped Harry Dunn.
Helped Harry Dunn.
Right.
But sadly, according to the accusations that are being made, and I'd say accusations, of course, but that information that Harry Dunn initially allegedly put down in a document never made its way to the jury, because it didn't go with the narrative that they wanted.
His original 302, the FBI write-up of his initial interview, said the Oath Keepers helped him that day. He admitted that. Mm-hmm. But yet they didn't show that to the jury. And instead, he got on the stand and perjured himself and lied. And said that the Oath Keepers, that wasn't the Oath Keepers, that was some other group of guys dressed like that. I was mistaken about who they were. It was really, the Oath Keepers were actually threatening me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then lied about being with Officer Lazarus together and saying they were both together and witnessed the same thing. And it turns out Officer Lazarus, as Steve Baker discovered in video, was in the tunnels under the Senate at that time. So they both were caught red-handed lying on the stand. And yet to this day, that they've not been prosecuted for that perjury.
And that's the problem here. And nothing happened there. Harry Dunn was made a celebrity, even Democrats backing him so he could run for Congress, and thankfully that failed. I mean, the guy's not very bright. When you hear him open his mouth, it's just not an intelligent person. But the reality of it is that was one of the many issues that you guys had during your trial, especially just given the fact that they pushed it through and they tried to orchestrate it to line up to the public J6 hearings that were happening. I remember there was an incident with it was Ken Harrelson, one of your co-defendants. His wife was like, "Did you watch? They showed a gun that wasn't actually a gun." During the J6 theatrical opening congressional trial or hearing, I should say. And ultimately, they were trying to persuade any potential jury pool into thinking that you guys were a bunch of hardcore guys who brought weapons to J6, even though you didn't, brought weapons there that day to overthrow the U.S. government. And again, that never happened. And in fact, you couldn't even get a signal. So your guys had gone inside, but again, to help Harry Dunn, that wasn't the intentions, but they did, essentially. And you're outside, you're unable to get a signal to place a phone call into the Capitol that day.
I didn't know they were inside, but I was trying to reach my team leaders for the security teams, trying to locate them, because they're supposed to be en route from Trump's event, escorting the speakers up to Alexander's stage for the second event they were going to be at that day. I was just trying to reach him, and I couldn't reach him.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And they tried to say that you were orchestrating it.
Right.
And yeah. I believe there's one individual.
Like a general, right.
Exactly, yeah. Who said, oh, yeah, well, he didn't directly tell us to go in, but it was kind of in the back of our mind. We were supposed to just do it.
Yeah. One of the guys took a plea deal and said, oh, it was implied. That was their default. They couldn't find any actual direction from anybody in leadership to do anything, but they said, oh, it was an implied conspiracy. They told the jury you can infer an implied conspiracy, an implied agreement to have been formed in their minds as they walked up the steps without talking.
Stuart, that's so scary.
It's nuts, yeah.
It's so scary that they were able to get away with these lies. And 18 years is what they initially sentenced you to.
Right.
And although you are free today, you're not technically 100% a free man.
Right.
You haven't been pardoned entirely yet. What's that like?
It sucks. I mean, Joe Biggs is the same boat. Dominic Pozzola, Kenny Harrelson, we're all military veterans. We've lost our disability, lost all our rights as veterans because of this prosecution and persecution of us. And so we deserve a pardon. We're asking for a pardon from President Trump.
Yeah.
And so I believe all of us have applications in for a pardon with Ed Martin's office. We don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to wait. I've heard rumors that it was because, well, they're waiting for the midterms. I'm sure it's kind of nonsense President Trump's being told, but he should do the right thing by us because we were actually the ones who went to trial and were most loyal to our country and to him.
Yeah.
We didn't take a deal. Some of the guys took deals and lied and completely rolled over. We're given pardons. Which is really strange.
Yeah.
So the 14 of us that went to trial were the ones singled out for commutation.
Yeah, I've never understood why you guys were singled out. And again, there were other people there who
all Oath Keepers were Proud Boys. Only those people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we talk about the mainstream media and their lies all the time. And the president seems to understand that. But it seems like he's going along with the lies. If he probably hasn't even been briefed properly on this. It's the reality of it is like right now we have an individual who was there for the Breonna Taylor shooting, an officer who was sent to prison under the Trump administration. He didn't shoot Breonna Taylor, but because one of his fellow coworkers was shot in the leg by Taylor's boyfriend, the Biden regime did go after him for responding and shooting back into the apartment. But long story short, he was sentenced to about 3 years in prison. And even though the Trump administration, the DOJ said, don't send it to the prison, to the judge did anyway. They haven't even intervened there and freed this man. And I know that there's active death threats against his life because of how the DOJ spun it initially under the Biden administration, that he was the one who, and they think in their heads in the jail or in the prison, that he shot and killed Breonna Taylor. What is it like for someone who is a part of a high profile case, like the Breonna Taylor? I mean, what is his prison life going to be like?
As a police officer, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have to wind up either self-checking into protective custody, or he'll be, you know, exposed to being killed.
Yeah, they have him in solitary right now. What is it like for solitary? Just so people can understand, because solitary confinement, at one point, the ACLU understood that it was abuse. Now, though, when it's used against conservatives, they don't want to speak up on that issue.
Of course not.
But what is it like in solitary?
It's a form of torture. Around the world, whenever another country holds an American like that in solitary confinement, the U.S. State Department will complain and call it a violation of human rights and a form of torture. That's the whole point of it against us, was to coerce us. We were held in solitary pretrial. Myself, over a year, some of my co-defendants for almost 2 years held in solitary confinement, trying to break us. Imagine being locked in your bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it's like, being locked in your bathroom for, you know, 24 hours a day or 22 and 2, let you out for 2 hours, go, you know, take a shower and use the phones, and you're back in your bathroom again. You're being fed through a slot. That's what it's like. No sunlight. I went over a year without being under an open sky. So no direct sunlight. Yeah, it's a violation of human rights. But I was able to stay strong through that because I said, look, I'm like a prisoner of war, and I understand that this is nothing compared to what prior American servicemen who were prisoners of war suffered, whether they were being held by the Vietnamese or the North Koreans or by the Japanese in World War II. They had a lot rougher than what I'm going through. That kept me from feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah. And it's not acceptable though, Stuart, because the reality of it is right now the DOJ runs, and they have always run, the Bureau of Prisons. So technically right now we should have a DOJ that's going out there and fighting for, those who have been wronged by the system and their poor treatment while they were in federal custody. I mean, I was talking to Enrique Tarrio, as many of you guys know, one of the leaders over the Proud Boys. And, he told me that he was being sued by a church, and, they didn't allow Tarrio to go to his civil court case. In fact, the only time that they did, he was stuck in traffic late and the judge called it off. So he got forced $3.2 million judgment.
Right.
And that's due to the fact that the DOJ, who runs the Bureau of Prisons, wouldn't take him to his civil court case.
Right.
So now he's being forced to cough up potentially $3.2 million. And just to put this in perspective, the DOJ is being sued by Tarrio and a group of the other Proud Boys as well in regards to their treatment, their constitutional rights being violated. And the lawsuit itself, because it's a bunch of them, is $100 million what they're asking for. But the DOJ, just a couple of, I believe it was over 2 months ago, submitted a request to the courts asking them to toss out the lawsuit, saying that they have immunity when it comes to any type of constitutional rights being violated, type of argument. They have immunity to that. As a former practicing recovering attorney, however you want to phrase it, what's your reaction to hearing the DOJ claim that they have immunity to violate Americans' constitutional rights and get away with it?
So it's as though the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, was still running the DOJ. Yeah. And that's because they still have the same people in power. They're actually, they're doing the work, which is means doing the work of the left. Pam Bondi is either asleep at the switch and letting Todd Blanche do what he wants, which is to block and obstruct and defend what was done under the Biden administration. That's who he really works for. Or Pam Bondi herself is sold out. But either way, it's as though they never changed. They never changed hands. It's very frustrating. So President Trump wants accountability. He wants compensation for all those J6ers who were falsely imprisoned. And yet his own DOJ is fighting against, instead of settling, which is what they should be doing and negotiating good settlement for the Proud Boys and for the rest of us as well. Instead of that, they're fighting it, you know, scorched turf. This should be dismissed entirely. We're completely immune. They shouldn't be allowed to sue us at all. That's disgusting to have the DOJ under President Trump not actually doing his intent. I don't want to hear any legalistic arguments about, well, why? Oh, institutionally, she has to defend the institution. What a bunch of nonsense. It's her job under obligation as an attorney and as a public sworn attorney to defend the Constitution and to do justice. That's the oath of a prosecutor, is to defend the Constitution and also to do justice in each case. This is not justice.
Yeah, and President Trump is in fact going after the DOJ as well in his own civil lawsuit as well, just because of the lawsuit that took place against him. And there's reports.
That's ironic. So are they going to dismiss his charge too?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Exactly.
Because that was his claim?
Yes, because Todd Blanche would be the one to approve whatever the settlement agreement would be.
Right.
And so he was actually asked, because I believe it was the New York Times reporting that he's requesting through his attorneys, although he said it's just his attorneys, he's hands off the case, of course, saying that he's asking for over $200 million, $230 million in this claim. Now, the laughable part here would be Todd Blanche would be the one to approve it. He's saying he doesn't have anything over it. It's just being handled by his legal team. But again, the DOJ would have to say, okay, maybe we don't have legal immunity here.
Right. But now they're between a rock and a hard place. If they directly try to deny it to President Trump, he'll get pissed off and might fire him. I hope they actually do that. I hope they actually are dumb enough to do a motion to dismiss on his claim too. Please.
I didn't see one, and that was a telling part in all of this.
I don't think they'd have
the cojones to do that.
No, probably not. They're not that stupid. They'll let him have a settlement and he'll take it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then they're trying to block ours. And so this is why I'm not sure what's going on in President Trump. To be charitable to him, I would say it's a repeat of the first time. He's been surrounded by snakes and are giving him horrible advice, and their whole intent is to run the clock out until he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's the deep state plan. It's the same playbook as the first time around, which is why they want more disruption, why they want more chaos.
Yeah.
So you should expect that to be done in this country.
Yeah, and I want to highlight the fact that I know going into this wasn't the plan. I actually had a source who was telling me what it was going to be like for Cash Patel when he took over as the FBI director, because he had, before being sworn in, had mapped out a plan as to what he was going to do within his first few hours of getting into the position and being sworn in. And sadly, it seems like some of it's been carried through, but again, most of it's pretty light, that the stuff that he has done, it's the light, it's the easy stuff, the heavy lifting he hasn't really been able to do. I know he said that he was going to take the headquarters out of D.C. when it came to FBI. He wanted to purge all of that. Was the go-ahead for it? And although we've seen reports, you're not really hearing much in the way of what's actually being carried out on a day-to-day basis. The personnel decisions that have been made are very questionable. There was a gentleman, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, in California, who went after and tried censoring. He was an FBI employee, went censoring and was talking to the social media companies to censor people who disagree with the Biden regime. He was outed. I think his last name was Chen or something like that. I was the one who did the uncovering into, well, he's actually, because according to people he worked with, he's actually not active online. And so we looked up at his work history. They gave him, according to my own reporting, they gave him enough time to take off time so that he could still leave the agency, leave the bureau, but still cash in on his retirement perks. And hearing that was infuriating, but they never actually said, when I said that he was no longer with the agency, they never actually said, no, that's not true. You'd have to expect that someone like this is someone you just immediately would fire on day one. Right. But every time I ask questions, I'm told we can't confirm personnel decisions, and we also can't tell you specifically, or we can't just fire people just because of possible allegations that they were part of the machine last time. They have to go through a certain process. But that wasn't what the FBI did previously under Christopher Wray. Any whistleblower came forward.
Got fired. Here's
my, Elvis Chan. There you go.
Yeah.
This was a gentleman who I was told was put on terminal leave but was able to cash out his retirement benefits. Again, what's going on here? Or, like, I don't know how else to read it besides the fact that they're not doing the job that they told us they were going to do.
Yeah, that's it. Complete failure. That's why I say Cash Patel is obviously compromised. There's no other explanation for it. I mean, either they could either threaten you, because that's coercion, they bribe you and buy you out, or they're compromised and they basically blackmail you. Those are the three ways to control people. I think with Cash Patel, it's probably blackmail. He's probably been blackmailed for something that he doesn't want disclosed to the public.
Yeah.
So, but either way, he's compromised. Whatever it is, whether it's through threats or blackmail, he's been compromised. That's why he should be fired. Be removed by President Trump and replaced by somebody else. Give somebody else a shot.
Yeah, well, it's difficult because, you know, I remember...
I vote for Kyle Serafin, you know, speaking of whistleblowers, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? We know that... I know specifically that they put, President Trump put, Cash Patel in charge of the vetting process for those nominees that he was going to start nominating before he became the FBI director. So there was a lot of trust instilled in him. And so he knew what the vetting process was like. And so it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around, until I saw his confirmation hearing and others too, to put my mind around as to how he was able to get past all of this. But then I sat back and I watched. I watched his confirmation hearing. They didn't do much in the way of pushing back against him. Also watching what happened to Pam Bondi's confirmation. They're softballing her with questions. No one's hitting her with any actual questions. I know there were allegations that she may have during the Trayvon Martin trial, George Zimmerman trial, may have put a fake witness on the stand during that trial. There were allegations about her potential role in the Epstein prosecutions that were taking place as well, red flag laws that she supported. There was a lot of questions about her, but none of it made it to her confirmation trial, confirmation hearing. And I was very confused as to why that was. But now we got about a minute left. I'll let you to react to it. Now we kind of could understand why. Maybe that there was that she was already on their side.
Yes. I think she already was. Now with Patel, it might be he came in with the best of intentions, but they knew he was vulnerable to their blackmail or their pressure. And they, you know, they knew what was going to be done to him. And so they let him squeak through, and then they intimidated him.
Yeah.
You know, I think Joe Biggs is probably right. When Patel and Bongino came into their offices, they were probably sat down by one of the actual people that run the FBI and said, here's two files. Read yours. Here's the dirt we have on you. Now you're going to do what we say, or you'll be exposed. Because what else explains their behavior?
Well,
that's exactly how they're acting.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to understand because Dan Bongino, obviously a very successful podcast, one of the most well-known podcasters in the conservative movement, for him to leave his position, he went there with the best intentions. He went there, but this video, it looks like a hostage video. It looks like both of them are crying before they got up there. It's not a good look.
No.
Very respectable man, Dan Bongino.
But everything out of their mouths has been lies.
From
that moment on, that was my big red pill on the two of them, and I watched him get up there and say that Epstein killed himself, that the Butler investigation into the attempted assassination of President Trump is now terminated because the shooter is dead. I was like, invasion of the body snatchers, where did Patel and Bongino go? Been replaced by these two robots.
Yeah, it's really upsetting to see. You know, Seward, we have good news, though. You're going to be sticking around here on InfoWars for a bit. You're bouncing around. You're doing Alex's
right,
show as
well
in a little. So,
Veterans Day extravaganza.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. We're keeping you here. So, folks, don't go anywhere. There's more with Seward, of course, on InfoWars throughout today. Again, if you haven't done so, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because as a thank you for those who have sacrificed so much for this great nation, we are offering a free hat with every supplement order, of course. So when you order a supplement, you're going to get a free hat over at the AlexJonesStore.com. So head on over there right now and make sure to snag that deal. Stuart, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you as well, my friend.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.